It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on MSCNews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank, no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
We've got Joel Osborne, head coach of the Benedictine Ravens, with us. Coach, exciting time. Been looking forward to this now for a while. Getting ready to go. How is it set to go into game one?
Well, we're excited. There's a lot of unknown. You know, our kids are ready to compete against somebody else besides ourselves. And, you know, we've worked really hard since, you know, the spring game when we played Hastings and we found out we didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, I think our kids are going to come out there and play with a chip on their shoulder. And we're really excited for the opportunity. It's been 140 days since we played a game. So, looking forward to it.
Have they been able to maintain, and you talked about this in the spring, that April 11th motivation? Has that been able to carry through very well?
Yeah, they've done a good job. We remind them every once in a while of how they felt that day. We've got shirts that say 4-11 on the back that we'll wear when we travel. So, the kids are, they've done a good job, though, of we have different, you know, we have high goals this year, and one of them is just to go 1-0 each week. So, you know, that's the mindset, is you can only play one game at a time.
So how was the practice this fall? Did it go like you had hoped it would go? Are you satisfied with how it's gone?
It was very competitive and physical. Our kids did a great job taking advantage of the reps that they got. We got a lot of reps in a short amount of time, and we had to because we had a short window of time to get ready. It was a good camp. It was really good.
Certainly, the Raven fans are familiar with a lot of the names because there are going to be so many guys back. But are there any new names? Are there any surprises or guys who have jumped up that we might be hearing about as the day goes on today? Someone out of the ordinary that we don't know about?
You know, there's going to be some guys that I think are going to make some plays in this game that you probably didn't recognize from last year. One of them being Reed Levi. He's a tight end receiver. You know, Trey Adger was hurt all last year, so he's a guy that we're going to look to go to, and then Austin Buto as well at receiver. You know, and then hopefully there's a few more guys that step up that are a little bit unknown, but defensively, I mean, you're going to, you know, we got Jalen James coming back. He's an anchor in the middle. Everybody knows about Jalen, but there's going to be some guys. There's a transfer defensive tackle from a Division II school in Colorado. His name is Isaac Anderson, and he played for Coach Hauser's dad in high school in San Diego and Mission Hills. So he is a problem. We had issues blocking him all fall camp, so we're looking forward to seeing him go against somebody else. And, there's going to be some guys that will emerge for sure, we're looking forward to it.
William Penn is, and you've talked about it, I know a lot with the guys, I'm sure everybody's talked about, that they're kind of that odd team during the course of a season that runs an offense that you see very seldom, and certainly in this day and age with that running-based offense. Are you pretty comfortable with how you're set up to defend that?
Yeah, our coaches have done a great job planning for that. You know, they started this summer and just putting a plan together, and then obviously getting into game week, we started on Sunday with that, and our scout team has done a great job. Our offensive kids picking up with a new offense in a matter of a day, and then implementing it and giving a great look. And the biggest thing we have to do is we got to come out and be physical, and we got to do our job. You know, if guys aren't doing their job against this type of an offense, it could be a long day. But I think our guys will be locked in on their keys and they'll execute.
Certainly, what their offense looks to do is to limit your possessions. Your offense, I got a feeling, is going to be absolutely opposite this one. As they're going to run the ball, you are probably going to be opening it up.
Yeah, so what they do offensively is they milk the clock. They snap it as late as they can. They go for it on fourth down a lot. They hardly punt. So, you've got to be ready to play four downs on defense, and then you really, the key is first down, getting them behind the chains. If you can win first down, that's a big deal. And then offensively, you know, we talk about alignment, assignment, snap count. We got to know how to align. We got to know what we're doing. We got to know the snap count, because if we can be efficient there, that's going to put us in position to get ahead of the chains, you know, and keep their offense off the field. So our goal offensively is to really take advantage of the possessions that we get and just take it one play at a time. We do not want to waste plays. Okay, that's the biggest thing, that biggest key for offensively this week is to take care of the football and not waste plays. So we can't control the fact that that's what they run on offense. Now we know that that's what they do run, so we got to be able to counter that and keep them off the field.
And we've talked about them very briefly at the onset of the conversation, but we need to, again, tip the hat to your tremendous staff, the coaches that you have surrounding you. They know how to prep. They do a great job, and I'm sure they come into this game really excited too.
Yeah, our coaching staff's excellent. So Coach Wilcox, the staff he had when I got here, and then we've had a few additions since I've been here. They're doing a great job. Caleb Cook's a new D coordinator. He's been on our staff for 5 years already, and Coach Gartmeyer is still on our staff coaching the safety. So we've got a lot of experience on the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, you got Coach Papa Giorgio coaching the O-line. This is his 21st year here. You know, we've got some young blood on our offense as well, too. So I'm really pleased with what our staff's been able to do and work together, how we work together. We have a lot of fun together. We enjoy being around each other. That's the other thing, too, that is great about this staff.
One last question, Coach. What is the one thing that I'm going to look at, and if I see this or see this happening, you're going to be a happy guy, and this is what you want to see moving toward a Raven win today?
William Penn punting the ball. That'd be a big key.
There you have it. Coach Osborne, best of luck to you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Tom.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
The Amberwell Health pregame show continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Keys to the game right after this.
Hot or cold, no matter what the temperature outside, the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison is your source for fan food, not fast food. Check out their chill menu with blizzards, shakes, sundaes, cones, and so much more. Or stop by for their $5 lunch and choose between a 3-piece chicken strip or deluxe cheeseburger with side, drink, and sundae, just $5 plus tax. And don't forget to sign up for the DQ Fan Club for special offers, monthly emails, and much more. Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. It's fan food, not fast food.
As we get set for Raven football tonight in Oskaloosa, Iowa, it's now time for our Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. And today, got a couple of them. The first one is win the turnover battle. William Penn is one of those teams who will put the football on the ground once in a while. You've got to take the ball away from them. The other thing is be efficient on offense. William Penn is going to do a good job this evening of limiting your offensive possessions. So in those possessions, you've got to get points out of almost every possession. You do that, you're going to come away with the first win of the season and a road game in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. So there you have it, your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. Raven football coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game and the Amberwell Health pregame show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
care.
KAIR-FM Horton, Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
And with that, we welcome you to Oskaloosa, Iowa, where this afternoon the Benedictine Ravens begin the 2021 football season here in the heart of American Athletic Conferences, there being hosted by the William Penn Statesman. Hello again, everybody. Good to have you with us. Joseph, our producer and engineer back at the K-Radio Sports Studio. Gus Counts to my left. Tom Counts with you. And Gus, the Raven mantra has been 4-11. 4-11. Remember what happened in April. Don't let it happen to you again. That means they want to make the postseason. That means they need to win every game. That means it starts today.
Yeah, and coming into the season, ranked number 17 overall, the Ravens are also going to have to win a lot of games and probably put a few style points on the board that'll help with the Raiders as the season progresses. But it's a beautiful day for football here in Oskaloosa, Iowa. 90 degrees, feels like 97. Wind strong out of the south at 11 miles per hour. The sun won't set till 7:49. But I'm going to tell you, that wind is going to be a little bit of an issue this evening.
The flip of the coin won by William Penn. They've elected to receive the football, and they're going to send Luke Masters and Colton Horak back deep. They're going to settle into their own goal line. Gus, Raymond kicking units out of the field of work, getting set to go. As it'll be Cullen Bruner, the freshman from Marceline. It's high. It's end over end. Taken 2 yards deep, and they're going to bring it out. How about that? Crossing the left side of the 10, breaks free at the 15, and down at the 21-yard line.
Nice special team stop right there for the Ravens coming up to make that hit. Was going to be number 38, Spencer Witt, an inside linebacker out of Higginsville, Missouri. And for William Penn, they're going to start the season at the 21-yard line.
Penn is in their home uniforms. It is navy jerseys, gold helmets, gold pants, gold lettering and trim for Benedictine. Gus, I can't say enough about it. It's the brand new uniform. White jerseys, white pants, red lettering and trim with a black helmet. All white uniforms for Benedictine. We're going to talk about the last time they had that. Here's a little pitch. The sweep is going to go to the left side, crossing the line of scrimmage, picking up five, but not picking up seven, as getting to the edge and getting level as he gets to the corner. Going to be a short gain and a Davion Drayton tackle for Benedictine.
Davion Drayton doing a great job getting out there, making the stop from the cornerback position. And here's the deal. On those sweeps that we're going to see out of William Penn today, you're going to have to ask for those outside linebackers and those cornerbacks to really come up and make tackles on ball carriers versus defending the ball down the field.
Again, the whole style, spinner quarterback type offense. Handoff is going to go to the fullback. He'll try straight ahead. Nothing for Rives Grogan, the 5'10 sophomore out of Edmond, Oklahoma. A name we're going to say a lot today, a lot all season. I guess the question is only if we're going to say it 130 times this year. Jalen James with the tackle for Benedictine.
Jalen James coming into the ball game, number 6 all-time for Raven tacklers, 322 tackles. He's led the Ravens in tackles 3 of the last 4 seasons. The only year he did not, about 2019, when Cody Sisson led the Ravens only by 9.
Here comes the offense for Penn. It is a 1st and 10 of the 31. Again, a single man in the backfield. Wings to either side. QB will turn. Keep it himself. Pitch late. Outside 35. He's got room. 45. Cuts back in the middle. 50. Raven territory. Down to the Benedictine 48-yard line. A superb play. A pitch and sweep to the right side to Luke Masters for the big gain.
AJ Calcara, along with Tyler Tierney, came up and made the stop. But that time, William Penn did a great job of deceiving the Raven defense by selling the dive and instead going with the pitch around the end, the outside end for the Ravens, sucked down, and nobody out there, they were able to get the corner in a big gain for Penn.
Penn has done exactly what they wanted to do. Take the opening kickoff, and they're now moving it downfield. They go to Benedictine territory. First and 10 of the Raven 48-yard line. Hand off, no. Quarterback will keep. Sweep to the left side. Now again with a late pitch. Gets a great block. Seals the edge. 45, 40, 35, 30 down the left side. And right now, William Penn's offense is functioning perfectly. Zach Gill has to come over from the middle linebacker spot. And Gus, this quarterback is doing a great job, Crehan, of holding the ball, making the commitment by the defensive end, and then deciding what to do.
Yeah, Crehan's a guy who's been in this program a while. He actually graduated back in May. He's coming back working on his master's in business leadership. He's a smart guy and a guy who really knows how to run this offense. Right now, Penn is running it perfectly.
And again, I would suspect scoring early and doing well early in this game is going to be huge. Because of the temperature. You mentioned it in the pregame. We're 90-plus degrees, feeling like 97 here in Iowa at game time. QB will keep it this time. He will duck in. Penalty markers all over the place as he goes inside the 20-yard line, picking up 8 yards, but this may come back.
Yeah, it's going to come back. The ball, that penalty marker came right in the box, and you got to expect just a holding or even a chop right there.
William Penn operating from left to right across your dial here in the opening quarter. Benedict and making some defensive adjustments. And Gus, they're going to have to figure a way to stop this tremendous William Penn running game here early today. Wait for the referee to give us a call.
So what we had right there is a little high-low block by William Penn within the box. And so this is going to move it all the way outside the 40. They're going to finally spot it down at the 43. The Ravens are going to make a little bit of a substitution in the middle. They're going to take Isaac Anderson, the sophomore, out and bring in the redshirt freshman, Joe Burke, out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, had 5 tackles for the Ravens back in the spring.
Coach Osborne and I talked about this exact situation we're in right now in the pregame. We'll discuss that further here in a moment. It's first down and 20. Quarterback is going to roll right, looking to throw the ball. Now steps up, going to run. He's back to the 40, breaks one tackle, dives for it inside the 35, and gets down to the 34-yard line. He was able to pick up about half of that lost penalty yardage as the tackle was made by Tyler Tierney. We talked in the pregame. Coach used a term, Gus, and I'm going to bounce it off here. He said, on first down, we've got to get William Penn behind the chains.
Yeah, definitely. You got to get him behind the chains. You got to make them look at a second and long. So you're looking at a second and 7, second and 8, versus looking at a second and 5 or 4. So for the Ravens, really on first down, you're going to have to hold Penn to less than 3 yards on that first down, set up second and long.
Well, right now they've done that. Second and 15 for William Penn there at the Benedictine 36-yard line. We're about 3.5 minutes into the ball game. QB will keep it. Sweep to the left. He's going to be hit. He's going to be dragged down before he can make the pitch. He'll lose 2 yards. What a play by Dwayne Lacy.
Dwayne Lacy, the big defensive end out of DeKalb, Illinois, comes up and makes the stop. Dwayne is a guy who does a great job of holding the edge, had 23 tackles last year for the Ravens, and now William Penn in a place where they don't feel comfortable. Third and 16.
And William Penn, you've got to understand, even if it's 4th and 16 from here, they do not punt the football. If they're not going to be within field goal range, they will go for it on 4th downs more often than not. But here, 3rd down at the Benedictine 35-yard line. 3rd down, and you call it 17 yards to go. Got to get all the way down to the Raven 18. Receiver, they brought a new one in. They'll send one man wide to the right. Again, with a double wing offense, single fullback in the backfield behind quarterback Crehan. Quarterback will keep it, hand off the straight ahead right, and look at the fullback go. He to the 25-20, to the 15-10. First and goal. And right now, William Penn is dominating between the tackles.
Yeah, that's right. A.J. Calcara comes up and makes the top stop from his strong safety position. But right there, it was just a downhill play. William Penn was going to sacrifice a down to try to pick up maybe half of that. It was just a straight fullback hitter up the middle. No deception right there. They just did a great job of pushing the defense off and making a nice little running avenue. It'll be first and goal.
They're going to make a first and 10 at the 12.
From the 12. Yep, there we go. Now we're setting up those sticks.
And again, right now, William Penn is just hitting in the middle. Here's a first down call. Again to the big fullback. This time he's going to line of scrimmage and dropped right there. Getting in the backfield, Isaac Anderson, first man.
Yeah, Isaac did a good job that time. He was able to slip between the guard and the center and get into the backfield to make the stop. And again, Coach Osborne talked about it in the pregame that you've got to get Penn behind the sticks. Well, you've done that. Now you're setting up a second and 10. And Penn, being this close to the goal line, freshman kicker into a big win. Wouldn't be shocked if they're keeping the offense out for four plays.
Inside 10 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Penn has taken the football to begin the game and driven downfield. Now at the 10-yard line, the pitch, trying to sweep to the outside, get back to the 15, get to the 10, putting his head down and diving forward. They will mark him out of bounds at the 7-yard line. It is 2nd and 5, Penn. That was a good run to the outside by Luke Masters.
Joel Mewis comes up to make the stop on the play, and so after the long run, 9.5 minutes left here in the first quarter of play. It will be a third down for the Statesmen.
And William Penn, now they're close enough that they would go for a field goal if they do not find themselves scoring here, but they're taking a world of time bringing player personnel in and out, but they have a lot of time, still 24 on the play clock. It is third down, and man, we're going to make a third down and 4. They got it at the 12-yard line, got to get it down to the, or they got it at the 7-yard line, got to get it down to the 3. 10 on the play clock.
Watch out for the tight end. They just brought Adrian Alves back into the ballgame.
Motion left. Quarterback rolls right. Being chased out of the pocket. Cannot get the ball away and score it. And he was hit. But Gus, he completely pulled away from Joel Mewis. Give Adrian Alves, the tight end, the guy you were looking at, he was the intended receiver of that pass, but a little pressure caused the pass to be short.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense why you would bring Alves in on that play. He's typically a pass catcher. They brought him in, tried to tuck him in at the tight end, and it was going to be a boot pass out there. And great job by the Raven defense to break that up. It'll be a fourth down, and we're going to see Penn looking a little confused. Now they're trying to count. I think they're a guy short, right? Yeah. They're a guy short. 18, still plenty of time on the play clock.
They're going to run in a big old lineman. We're going to bring Aaron Martinez in, and kicker Ethan Olivas, a 5'10 freshman, is going to be looking at a 23-yard field goal from the right hash mark. It is down, it is up, it is long enough, and it is good. We're going to get a timeout. First series of the season, results in points. 8:50 to go in the opening quarter from Oskaloosa, Iowa. It's William Penn 3, Benedictine nothing.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill, and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Atchison Auto Parts is your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Welcome back to Oskaloosa, Iowa. William Penn has taken the opening position of the ball game, driven downfield and scored a field goal. Kicker Trapper Beam will be kicking away to Buteau and Drayton, the two deep men for the Ravens. The left foot kick is high and very short. End over end, caught by the wind and driven out of the 16-yard line to Buteau. He'll get to the 25, right side, 35, Buteau, 45, got a free blocker in front of him, 50, 45, down to the 44-yard line. What a return by Buteau. But Gus, I'm giving huge props to Connor Walker, who is right in front of him. Buteau had his hand on Walker's shoulder and followed him down the sideline.
Yeah, for Connor Walker, who's a linebacker on the defensive side, did a nice job getting out there, laying a couple blocks, and Buteau is going to set the Raven offense up really well. And they're actually going to say he stepped out just before midfield, so they're going to spot him back about 5 yards further than we thought. So it'll be at the 48-yard line.
Here comes a Benedictine offense. First snap of the season. And a handoff is going to go to the running back. He hits the middle. He'll get 2 yards straight ahead running for the Ravens. Second down, 8 at the 50-yard line. That's for Benedictine. You're never happy to give up points on any possession, certainly the first possession of the season. However, the way William Penn moved downfield, Benedictine's probably happy that they were able to hold him to 3 right there. It is a second down eight. Quarterback is going to be back to throw. Looking left, no room. Kettle rolling right, rolling right. Now he's going to run with it, 50, 45, and close to the first down marker. Because he had plenty of time. Couldn't find an open man downfield. But did he get enough?
Sure he did.
Okay. First and 10, Benedictine on the wheels of quarterback Garrett Kettle.
Yeah, Garrett Kettle doing a great job. Drop back. The offensive line gave him plenty of time to survey the field. Realized that nobody was open, so he just tucks the ball and picks up the first down. Through first and 10, Ravens with just under eight to play here in the first quarter.
BC operating with no huddle. It is a first and 10 at the 42. Again, the wraparound handoff running straight into the middle of the line. No room. The pegs are going to be taken out from beneath. Running back Damon Wiegand, he will gain a couple.
Yeah, Damon Wiegand trying to push up into the middle, and that's not really where he's going to be the most comfortable running the ball. He is a little faster, likes to get outside the tackles. Mostly the interior running is going to be Rayshon Mills. Now the Ravens are going to be out there with Rayshon at the tailback. He'll be lined up to the right of quarterback Garrett Kettle.
Two to the right and two to the left for Benedictine. Second down, nine. Now they'll go a wing to the left side. Play action, throws left, needing to block, finding nothing but blue shirts. Because I don't know what that play was supposed to be, but it was poorly executed. The pass caught by Trey Adger, but instead of blockers, he had defenders led by Armin Pledge.
Yeah, Armin Pledge, a hometown product out of Oskaloosa, Iowa, was able to come up and make the stop on the play. Now, William Penn is going to take their bigs out of the ball game. They're going to bring in more pass rushers on this third and nine. And so now, kind of talk about on the flip side, the Ravens behind the sticks here.
Third and nine at the 41, just across midfield. Motion comes to the right side. That's going to be Buteau to the wide side of the field. QB is back to throw, looking, steps up. He's got time. He could run, and now he's got a man wide open, and instead, Kettle runs, comes up short by a yard or so, and because Buteau had no one near him. He's doing jumping jacks, waving his arm, trying to catch a quarterback's eye. Couldn't do it. Ravens now fourth down.
That was a big run right there, though, by Garrett Kettle. He just put a hit stick on Donovan Corbett, the inside linebacker. And Corbett's coming off the field. He's going to get checked out by the training staff after that hit by the quarterback, Garrett Kettle.
I see him coming over to the near side. He's going directly to the medical tent. Fourth and one. Ravens are going to have a man on either side of quarterback Garrett Kettle. QB's going to keep it himself. Boots left, turns it up, gets the first down inside the 30, down to the 29-yard line, first and 10.
Rolling the dice on fourth and one. The Ravens fake the inside handoff, and then quarterback Garrett Kettle just followed Rayshon Mills forward and was able to pick up the yardage necessary. It'll be first and 10 for the Ravens with 5:43 left in the first quarter.
You know who Rayshon was following? Gus, great Raven lineman, Jared Mullen.
Yeah, I'd follow him too, right? 5'11", 256.
First and 10, Benedictine now at the pin, 29-yard line. Ravens trailing 3-0. This is the first Benedictine possession of the early evening. Back to throw Kettle. Now we'll wrap around, handoff, running back. Looks left, stops, tries to go right, says there's nothing there either, goes back to the left. And little, if anything, in the middle for Benedictine that time. That's Lance McLaughlin, was it, running the ball?
Demarion Hunter in there on the stop for the Statesman. Hunter, a 5'9 sophomore out of Bowling Brook, Illinois.
Second down, seven. Ravens at the 27-yard line. Rayshon in the backfield. Motion will come over to the right side. That's going to be Court Madison. QB back to throw again. Rolling right. Pressure comes up. Receiver wide open. Caught at the 15-yard line. Tremendous catch by Harry O'Neill.
Yeah, that was a nice play right there by Harry O'Neill. He's a big guy, 6'4", and the wide receiver was able to go out into the flat, kind of sit there and wait for Kettle to roll out, find him wide open, and pick up another first down.
Gus, we were talking on our ride up here about how these two teams are so different. You can't get offenses much more diametrically opposed as Penn. Slow, methodical, grinds it down the field. Benedictine racing out to the ball, going with no huddle all night. First and 10 now at the 13-yard line. Now, the motion man does not take the ball. Quarterback Kettle Hamp keeps it himself. He's down to the 5-3-2, down to the 1-yard line, first and goal, Benedictine. Right now, Garrett Kettle is the Ravens' offensive rusher.
Yeah, and that time, as Garrett Kettle was diving towards the end zone, he just couldn't get the ball extended. He left it down by his stomach, and he's going to be just a little short. It'll be first and goal for the Ravens at the 1. They're going to bring in Drake Prey and Rayshon Mills will be your backfield.
Question, which of the three is going to punch it in here? First and goal. They hand it off to Rayshon. Dances right, leans, twists, shoves, pushes. Touchdown, Ravens! Rayshon Mills, senior from Gilroy, California, puts Benedictine in front of the Ravens, scoring their first possession of 2021.
So the Ravens, on that possession, it was all started by a nice return by Buto. Got him out near midfield. They gambled a little bit on a fourth and one, a big run by Garrett Kettle. And now, cap it off with a one-yard touchdown run by Rayshon Mills.
Tegan Trammell is in to kick the PAT for Benedictine. The Ravens utilize three kickers. They've got a punter, they've got a kickoff specialist, and then they've got the place kicker, who again is Tegan Trammell, 5'11 junior from Sedalia, Missouri. And again, Benedictine special teams, a man short. They can run it out. Both teams struggling a little bit in the first opportunities of the season. They'll work this out. Hands out, stretch for the holder. The placement is good, and the boot is also. We've got a timeout. 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go with the opening quarter. Benedictine 7, William Penn 3.
Hi, this is Todd Gickstad from Exchange Bank. You know, a good banking relationship is built on trust. It's a valuable asset. We offer you quality financial service and common sense advice. We're here to help you reach your goals. When you need a banking partner you can trust, you can count on us. Exchange Bank and Trust, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Exchange Bank and Trust, community-minded, that's my bank.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
We'll be back once again to Raven Football Carrier. The BC kickoff is away. This thing is high end over end and lands on the back line of the end zone. And out the back, what a job by Colin Bruner there. Of course, the fact goes that it is hot, and he's got a wind behind him. They call it 11 miles an hour. We were outside before the game. It felt much stronger than that. But the breeze didn't hurt matters any, and Benedictine's defense is out. Ravens in front 7-3.
Yeah, and for the Raven defense coming out on the field, they're going to have to try to hit the reset button a little bit. They allowed Penn to drive down the field, and they were able to finally hold, but again, trying to slow this William Penn offense down just a little bit.
Here come the Statesmen. Senior quarterback Alex Crehan, 6'3" out of Troy, Illinois. Motion right, hands off fullback, straight ahead. This is the power run that they've been running all afternoon. And this time it was good for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 yards again, where Jalen James and Tyler Wilson make the tackle for Benedictine. It has just been very impressive, straight ahead running. And if you like to watch a fullback run, well, I'll tell you what, Ben Sherman is your guy. He's a high school teammate of some of these fellas. He's a 6-foot senior. Straight behind the quarterback on a second down 5 call. We'll get the handoff again. Again, puts his head down, and then as the contact occurs, he turns the body sideways, knives forward, picks up 5 more, and another first down for Penn. Tyler Wilson making another stop from that linebacker spot. Gus, Ravens are going to have to do something to stop the run because Penn is going to wear them down as the game goes on.
Yeah, and if you're William Penn right now, stick with the fullback, right? Continue running the ball down the hill until Benedictine is able to stop it. Right now, the Ravens really have to start looking at Isaac Anderson. He is playing the nose in this 34 defense at 5'9", 276. He has got to start getting the penetration and stop ball right here.
QB's 3-step drop pass over to the right side. It's going to be in and out of the hands of Tristan Ross. Defended nicely by Davion Drayton, who got there, punched the football free. And it's an incomplete pass. And Gus, this is something that, okay, after 40-some years, are you sick and tired of hearing me say, why does a team who is very successful doing something going downfield? We've been talking about it. Penn is running the ball, fullback, 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 3, 5, 7, 9, 12. And then they decide to throw the ball. I do not understand. Just never did.
Trying to outscore somebody.
Second
right?
down, 10 after the incomplete pass. Still at their own 35-yard line. Penn will hand off this time to the left halfback. He'll gain 2. And again, the guy you talked about,
In the middle this time, Isaac Anderson with a stop.
Yeah, Isaac Anderson and Joe Glazer are doing a great job making the stop right there. But if you're going to stop that fullback dive, it starts with that defensive tackle. And Isaac Anderson doing a great job there of pinching it down. And now Penn in kind of that uncomfortable territory because of that incomplete pass. Now they're looking at a 3rd and 8, and this isn't exactly something in their wheelhouse.
This is not William Penn kind of offense needed here. They're going to have to come up with something long toward that end. They're going to run a receiver very wide to the left side, and Adrian Aviles, single receiver, is going to be wide to the right. They'll shift the running backs a little bit. Quarterback is going to hand off. They'll give it to the fullback anyway, and he needed 8, got about 5. It'll make up a 4th down 3 at their own 42-yard line, but Ben Sherman is rolling up some yards. Jalen James also is rolling up some tackles.
Yeah, and Jalen James, you knew coming into this ballgame, was probably going to help his tackle numbers, especially when all this running is going inside, playing that middle linebacker spot, was able to hold Penn just short. It'll bring up a 4th and 3, and Penn thought about it for a long time, but now they're going to send the punt unit.
And I'm going to tell you, the reason they're punting, they threw on that one down.
Yep.
If they don't throw on that down, they pick up 3 yards, and that's what they're short here, 4th down 3. That said, Benedictin, as they will be kicking into the wind, should be getting some good field position as Austin Buteau is at the Raven 30-yard line. And now the officials will stop play. Benedictin taking a timeout. How odd. Do they have wrong number out there, guys?
Got 11. I think maybe worried about a fake punt or something. But
let's hang on to it right here, because they're going to be back out very quickly to punt this away. Setting the stage, minute 30 to go in the opening quarter. We're in Oskaloosa, Iowa. William Penn took the opening kickoff, drove downfield, got a field goal. Ravens got the ball back, went down and scored a touchdown, and that's our score right now, 7-3.
Right now, taking a look at the statistics, total yards, Penn, 105, Benedictin with 52. 15 plays for Penn, Benedictin with only 10 offensive plays. But how about the rushing right now? Penn, 105 rushing yards for Benedictin. They are at 38 rushing yards on the day.
Caleb Cook's going to have some things to say to his guys. Caleb, the new defensive coordinator, very bright and capable young man, getting his defense to do some of the things that he wants him to do. He'll get that ironed out. You can be very sure of that. Okay, back to play, and once again, it'll be Buteau. And by the way, the officials utilizing the opportunity to get a nice hydration break out there. Again, at game time, a little over 90 degrees, and a feels like of 97. It is completely clear skies, not a cloud to be seen. And again, a strong southerly breeze just kind of helping bake the ground here. Wait for the snap. Perfect. The kick is away. And the wind just grabs it, pushes that thing down.
Get away.
It's not going to get to the line of scrimmage, and then takes a nice pin bounce to the 50, 45, and down to the 43-yard line. So that's a 5-10. That's a 14-yard punt from the line of scrimmage.
And who's to say that Coach Osborne might not have utilized that timeout to tell his guys, hey, be careful and figure out where the ball is. So Benedictin with their second possession of the ball game in their worst starting field position. They're going to start back at their own 43-yard line.
Not too bad a place to start a possession at all. 1st and 10, Ravens. BC quarterback Garrett Kettle, he has been the running threat for this team here today. Help me out. I think am I at 9 at the left? There you go. Move it across. There, Reed Levi in the game for Benedictine. Going to set up on the right side. Little delay, draw, straight ahead run for Rayshon. He'll hit the right side, get across the line of scrimmage, cross the 45-yard line, and then with a tremendous second effort. I thought he was stopped after the gain of 2, Gus. He ends up picking up about a half a dozen. I don't know how he got there.
Nice little run right there by Rayshon Mills, and I'm going to tell you, the new stat system, crazy. We're going to talk about that here in a second.
Same play, this to the right side. Rayshon picks up a 1st down to the 45-yard line. Right now, Benedictine just giving the Statesman Gus a little dose of their own medicine.
Yeah, right now, and the Ravens, too, have gone to this hurry-up style offense. They picked up the 1st down, now they're racing back over the football. Quickly, Rayshon's going to check out back into the ballgame for Benedictine. It's going to be Damon. Again, you're also going to have Harry O'Neill in there.
Rayshon had to come out, he lost a shoe.
We talk about the rushing right now by Garrett Kettle. Kettle, 4 carries for 32 yards this afternoon. Rayshon Mills is 5 for 16.
Long count, Garrett Kettle. No one in the backfield. Five receivers out for BC. Kettle back. Lost one. Over the middle. Got a man over. Caught inside the 30. Bounces off it into the 25. Down to the 20-yard line. Harry O'Neill. His second big catch of the day.
Yeah, great job right there by Harry O'Neill. And as he caught it, you had the defender coming up trying to make a hit versus a tackle. And that was Donovan Corbett. Corbett comes up, lowers the shoulder, hits Harry O'Neill. O'Neill spins off of him, picks up an additional five. The Ravens inside the 20 at the 19-yard line. That'll be first and 10 for the Ravens. They're going to have to hurry to get one off.
BC wants another play with the wind behind them. Just inside the 20-yard line, first down. QB back to throw again. Garrett steps up in the pocket, throwing wide open and throwing it through the hands of Reed Levi. There was not a defender, Gus, within 8 yards of him.
And so with the incomplete pass, it will stop the clock. With 3 seconds, and the Ravens are going to get one more shot at this with the wind at their back.
And Reed Levi is a big target. You got to like seeing him out there. Young guy out of Rockhurst High School, 6'4", 223, and that junior's not going to miss many. That was a bullet. I mean, he was fired hard and fast, but couldn't quite haul it in. Trey Adger and Joe Withrow are now wide to the left side for the Ravens. Head up straight ahead. Rayshon gets nothing to the first quarter, comes to an end. We got a timeout of the field after one quarter in Oskaloosa, Iowa. The Benedictine College Ravens 7, William Penn 3.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
When you want to power up, go pro with Subway. With the new protein bowls, you'll get a footlong's worth of protein. Pick your favorite footlong piled high atop fresh lettuce, tomato, cucumber, and more veggies. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Order in-store, online, or on the app at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Happy to have you back with us here in Iowa, where the Benedictine Ravens begin the 2021 football season on the road at William Penn. BC leading it 7-3 as we go to the second quarter. Other games around the conference, there are two win on this afternoon. We'll bring you updates and scores of those, and then the rest of them under the lights. And there's some really good games for first week action. But right now, focus on the Ravens as Benedictine is looking at a third and a dozen. They're at the Statesman 22-yard line. Single man to the backfield is going to be Rayshon Mills. He's on the right hand of quarterback Garrett Kettle. Kettle back to throw, looking over the middle. Now rolls left, looks left, throws left, has a man. What a one-handed catch at the 10-5. Touchdown, Ravens, and there's a late hit in the back of the end zone. Harry O'Neill, his third big catch, his first touchdown.
21-yard touchdown reception by Harry O'Neill. He went up over a defensive back, one-handed it, and walked into the end zone, and then a late hit by the Statesman. And I'm not so sure that's not Donovan Corbett, who's had a terrible afternoon. He got ran over by Garrett Kettle on the first series. Thank you very much. He got ran over by Garrett Kettle on the first series, had a miscue on the second one, and then gives up a touchdown pass right there.
Okay, tell me what happened.
There it was. So after the touchdown, it was a late hit against Donovan Corbett. So they're going to enforce that on the kickoff, which the Ravens won't need that.
Tegan travels in to kick a PAT held by Garrett Kettle. It is down and up, and we're taking a break. Early, second quarter, 14:52 to go in the opening half. It's now Benedictine 14, William Penn 3.
Someone once gave this sage advice on investing. Know what you own and why you own it. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to understand what you own and why you own it. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
The Ravens kick off into the wind, and hey, fair catch called for in the middle of the end zone. So, gosh, it didn't seem that Cullen Bruner for Benedictine had a hard time with the ball, although he was boosted by the penalty for spotting where he spotted the ball down to kick from, but that ball was pretty deep, and it will be William Penn taking the football at the 25-yard line. 14:52 to go in the opening half. Ravens in front here, 14-3.
So for William Penn, this will be the third possession of the game. The first one ended in a field goal. The second one they had to punt. And so here comes the third for Benedictine. Two possessions, two touchdowns.
Single man in the backfield, Ben Sherman. He is a workhorse back there. Quarterback is Alex Crean. Motion left. QB will start left, now change directions, go right. He's got some room, gets to the edge, pull that from behind. It's going to be bumped out of bounds into the Benedictine sideline where coaches and players go tumbling to the ground like dominoes over there. I hope everybody's okay. We've seen players get badly hurt because of that.
Yeah, a little counteraction right there by quarterback Alex Crehan. Started all the motion to the left, put the foot in the ground, reversed his course back to the right, had plenty of blockers out there, able to pick up the first down. Nice play call on that first down by offensive coordinator Brett Stewart in his seventh season with the Statesmen.
Benedictine going to make a couple of substitutions defensively. Some new guys coming in on the defense for the Ravens. Matt Cobbs will enter the game. First and 10 at the 34 now. Not sure what the holdup is. First of all, if it's a 34, it should be second and one, right?
Yeah, I think we've got all kinds of issues after
goodness
sake. After the player went out of bounds and messed up the sticks and everything. Just take his time to get everything back in order.
Here we go.
For the Ravens, on the defensive front, you're going to have Joe Burke, Matt Cobbs, and in there, it's going to be Tyler Wilson.
So now William Penn is asking for them to reset the play clock, and Crehan is out there asking for it. He gets it back to 25. I don't know what difference that was really going to make, but
you got that 5 seconds.
Second and one for Penn. For William Penn, 1 yard is really like nothing. They have been picking up 3, 5, 7, 9 at a time running the football. Have they got a passing yard today?
Nope.
Second and one. Throwing 34. QB will keep it, make a late pitch, option to the left side, hit behind the line of scrimmage, and tackled right there. Nice defensive play by Zach Gill for Benedictine.
That was a great play by the Ravens. They read it quickly. Matt Cobbs got up on the quarterback, forced the pitch from Crehan, and Zach Gill, in open space, makes a one-on-one tackle. Big play right there for the Ravens. Now checking in, Garrett Pitbenick will check in at that right defensive end. It will be third and yeah, call it a yard. It's about the length of a football.
Yeah, it's a very short yard, that's for sure. And you got to look at Crean just to sneak this ahead. They've got everybody hunkered in tight. And QB will just ride the wave forward to pick up a first down up at the 37-yard line. First and 10, William Penn. Hot day all the way around the conference. We'll try to get you up to speed on some of those scores as we go along. But I will tell you also that these two teams next week, Gus, have some very heavy-duty opponents, both Penn and Benedictine, for week number two.
Yeah, William Penn is going to get Baker next week, and for Benedictine, well, they're going to be at home for their home opener against the number 5 team in the country, and that's going to be Grandview, a 1 o'clock kickoff from Larry Wilcox Stadium.
Yeah, Baker, the team, picked to win the South in the coaches' poll, and Grandview picked to win the North in the coaches' poll.
Grandview came away with a win over Central Methodist today, 37-10.
First down call, quarterback's pitch over the top, and that was just like a little jump throw, and it goes incomplete. The Ravens were all over Alex Crean, probably fortunate for William Penn that was up, picked off by someone. Crahan now 0-for-3 on the day passing the football, and again, it's going to put William Penn in a little bit of a bad situation. They're looking at 2nd and 10 now as the clock is going to stop for a moment at 13:03. Crahan is no Joe Namath. He does not drop back and look like a quarterback comfortable throwing the ball. Each of those three times he's thrown it, it's been kind of an afterthought, just kind of a lob, chuck, heave the ball forward kind of an effort.
More like a Dontari Poe trying to
play. There you go. 2nd down 10. QB will keep it. Bounce. Pitch on the sweep. Outside 45, 50. Raven territory. Finally tackled across the way by Benedict and Tyler Tierney. But another big gain. And Gus, the option. I'm not sure exactly why Benedict is having such a hard time defending it, but the option is absolutely giving the Ravens a fit.
Right now, your outside linebackers are getting caught by those tackles. And the problem is, the tackles are getting the second level and sealing off those outside linebackers. And then it becomes your cornerback and your strong safety. And depending on how far away your strong safety starts, he's just got that much room to cover. And right now, they are making those tackles, but it's taking them a while to get there.
It is a 1st and 10. William Penn moving the football now at the Benedictine 46. QB will hand off into the right side. And once again, Ben Sherman just putting his head down. And because you love talking about this. You had a coach who told you once, don't let the first guy get you. Well, that's what Sherman does. You notice he got hit at the line of scrimmage, just muscled and willed his way away from that guy and fell ahead for 5 or 6.
But that is a perfect play right now for William Penn, especially on 1st down. If you can push forward for 4, now you've got a lot of things you can do on this 2nd down call. A 2nd and 6, even if you want to throw the ball, you're still looking at a 3rd and manageable type situation.
11:57 to go in the opening half. Ravens leading in the ball game. 14-3, but Penn is moving now. 2nd down 6 at the BC 42. QB rolling right, and again, there's your pitch. This time, they get to the outside. Good pursuit in the corner by Jalen James and Josh Morris. They did not allow the running back, Archer Charles, to get to the outside, and he got 8 yards. It is a 3rd down 5 call. A couple of great defenders right there, guys. Jalen James, Josh Morris. You're not going to outrun Josh. You're not going to get away from Jalen. It's as simple as that.
It's a perfect setup for the Raven defense. And right now, William Penn looking at a 3rd and 5. And again, being in Raven territory, I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see the big fullback Ben Sherman twice here.
Got a new wideout, wide to the left side, kind of out on an island. But the quarterback is going to hand off to his fullback. And there you talk about it. He just puts his head down. And the victory at the line of scrimmage is won by William Penn. 3rd down and 5 is going to be now a 4th and 1. And you know they're going to leave the offense out here.
Yeah, Jalen James was able to make the stop on the play. But again, now being so short, it's probably, again, another length to the football type play. You got to think that Alex Crehan probably keeps this thing in his hands. And for William Penn, 10.5 minutes left here in the first half of play. Their 3rd possession of the ball game, and they're moving the ball again.
Benedictine leading it right now, 14-3. 4th and 1 at the Raven 47-yard line. Again, they punch him all up in the middle. The quarterback's going to keep it, and he's going to really have to work and push and shove, but Gus doesn't think he's got it, and I know it's really, really close. I mean, he got stood up in the middle, and that was a superb play. You don't see the Penn players dancing around saying, we got it. Now the Ravens are kind of looking the other way. The Benedictine defense does not believe Penn got the 1st down.
Isaac Anderson did a great job of submarining right there and getting into the backfield. The Ravens also getting off the bottom of that pile. You're going to have Jalen James. And depends where they put this thing down. I'm not so sure he got it.
How come the players aren't jumping around? They are standing around. They're going to give it to William Penn to call it a 1st down. That is, how can they not bring a chain in on that? That is so, so close, my goodness.
I didn't think he got it, but William Penn and Jalen James is out there barking at somebody. Not really happy with, I don't think the spot, really not happy with that it wasn't measured, and it's going to be a 1st and 10 for Penn. 10 minutes left here in the first half. Right now, Benedictine leading William Penn 14-3.
D.J. Johnson, wide to the right side. Now receiver also wide to the left. His Penn is going to have 2 in the pattern. Motion right, handoff fullback. Nope, quarterback will keep it. Make the pitch, same play. They've run 25 times today. This one's going to go all the way inside the 10-yard line. Picking up over 20 yards. Because they have run that play over, 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 and over. And the Ravens still do not defend it.
Yeah, Tyler Tierney was able to finally make the play out there. What William Penn is doing right now is doing a great job of getting those wide receivers and that other slot back up on your cornerbacks, and they're making good cuts. They're getting the outside linebackers cut down, and it's allowing an avenue. Right now, the Raven backers have to do a better job of getting up there and making a play. It is first and goal. William Penn at the 8-yard line. Ben Sherman, got to be looking at him to carry the ball. QB will hand it to Sherman. He will spin and twist to the 5, pick it up 3. It's exactly what Penn wants. They don't win 5 or 6 or 7. They'll take 3 at a time and look at the end zone at a second and go at the 5.
Jalen James with yet another tackle for the Raven defense.
And again, back into the game is going to come the wide receiver, Adrian Aviles. Aviles comes in, and he's going to rotate out a little Trapper Beam. And Penn will continue to crank the time off this clock. Ravens in front, 14-3, 8.5 to go in the first half. Single receiver left, double wing offense. QB will turn, handoff fullback left side, touchdown. Just like a gaping barn door thrown open for Ben Sherman, he rumbles in from 7 yards out. And at 8:36 to go in the opening half, Penn is on the board with their first touchdown of the year.
So Penn on possessions 1 and 3 get a field goal and touchdown respectively. Now looking for the PAT to try to draw this within a 4-point game.
Ethan Olivas out of Eddyville, Iowa. He's been looking for the point after. Little right foot soccer style kicker. And there's the placement and the kick. And he has it through there. Timeout. 8:36 to go in the half. Benedictine 14, Penn 9.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. Snap Fitness, your affordable neighborhood club, is open. And now is the time to schedule your tan. With 3 tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Kicking off for the first time tonight with the win at his back, William Penn's Olivas is set to put a toe to the football, and it will be high in over end. The Ravens are going to let it go out the back of the end zone, and here comes the Benedictine offense, Gus. The Ravens lead is cut. It is now 14-10 Benedictine. Again, 8.5 or so to go in the first half. William Penn offense, tell you what, it's been, to me, very impressive. Do they lead? No. But if you looked at the stats, they do.
Yeah, William Penn right now running the football really effectively. Total plays, 27, Benedictine 16. Total yardage, 180 for Penn, Benedictine 109. Right now their leading rusher for William Penn is Luke Masters with 44 yards, but Ben Sherman, 8 carries, 33 yards today.
Here comes the Raven offense, first and 10 of the 25. Kettle is back to throw, steps up in the pocket, being chased, now runs left. Kettle's at the 35, first down, 45, up to midfield and darts out of bounds. And safely at the 50-yard line, Kettle goes out on the far side. Now he's got to stop and put his shoe back on as the Raven offense. A nice 25-yard gain on the wheels of Garrett Kettle. And Gus, this is a double-edged sword. I love to see a quarterback who can pick up yards. Terrifies me to see my one quarterback getting all the yards and taking all of the hits. And, you know, I worry about the guy and his how long he can do that.
Yeah, I was happy on that play that as Kettle got up near midfield that he went ahead and stepped out of bounds.
Now Kettle's going to exit the game? Is that? No, it's not going to be Kettle going out. It's going to be Reed Levi. Reed is going out of the game. and Harry O'Neill will check in. And now the Ravens going to have to hurry this up. They're down to 8 on the play clock, and they don't look like they have an idea that it's down that far.
Kettle is looking around. 3 seconds, 2, 1, and there's the snap.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology. It needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have a peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. The Lewis Chevrolet Buick Service Department stands behind their work with a guarantee you will feel good about. So bring your vehicle into the people who understand it best. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, great cars and great service. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG. Your unaffiliated entities.
Okay. Back with you here in Iowa. Ravens taking advantage of that penalty. And again, doesn't it look like there's movement in the middle? Here's a pass left side into traffic, and it is going to be broken up at the 20-yard line. Looking for Trey Adger down the left side. Look at the defenders getting up over the top and taunting over there. No penalty markers thrown. I would throw at Trey all day because the guy defending him, is he 5 foot tall? I mean, he is a very, very, very small defender.
Yeah, they're lying when they say he's 5 foot ten because Trey towers over him out there at that far side cornerback. With the incomplete pass, it'll bring up now a second and 10 for the Raven offense. William Penn, again, lining up in that 34 defense with the big guy, Marquise Knighton, at the nose tackle.
Ravens at the 45-yard line. A Penn, the flare over to the left side, and that could have been a pick six going the other way. That was a dangerous, risky, risky pass in and out of the hands of Rayshon. Ravens lucky it's incomplete.
Yeah, Alfonso Battle was over there to make the play, and there's the penalty marker.
He's
over there talking to the Raven players, and yeah, Coach Hafner can't be happy with that.
No, we were talking about Alfonso Battle was taunting down the field. That time he broke that play up. He goes down in front of the Benedictine bench, dancing and throwing his arms up and talking to the players on their sideline, and finally the official makes the call.
Look, Coach says don't even stand on the sideline. I want you way over there by the water cooler. That's a tough break because the Ravens were looking at a 3rd and 10, and now they're looking at a 1st and 10 at the 30-yard line. Again, another big William Penn penalty.
Ravens up over the football and going from left to right into the wind here in the second quarter. Reed Levi swings over to the tight end on the left side. Garrett rolls left, looking, now throws, wants a man down to the goal line. There's a lot of pushing and shoving. There's a pass interference at the goal line.
I thought he had it over there. Nice job by the Raven wide receiver. That's going to be
Trey
Adger, and they're going to say he was drugged to the ground. So another William Penn penalty.
And you got a William Penn player now. He was over almost in the face of the official.
Let's talk about something.
Sure. I have all day.
Just kind of came to me, and I'm sitting here thinking, in practice, the William Penn defense practices against the William Penn offense, right?
I would think.
But the problem is, they don't throw, they consistently run the ball. So when you get into that first game against a team that throws the ball and throws the ball pretty effectively, I feel like there's a sharp learning curve to try to get yourself back up to game speed, working against a team that throws the ball where your offense just doesn't do that, and you don't get to practice it.
Right, and we're going to continue that thought here in just a moment. But right now, it's going to bring up after that penalty a 1st and 10 Benedictine down to the 15-yard line. Deep now in Penn territory. Ravens leading at 14-10. Quarterback Garrett Kittle with single man to his right side, Rayshon. Handoff is going to go to Mills. He'll start left, cut right, get hit at the line of scrimmage, breaks the tackle. Rayshon down to the 10. Lead block from the quarterback at a 5. Did Garrett push him into the end zone?
Touchdown? No, wait. They're waving their arms inches away. He put his hands up like touchdown, and then he started waving them over his head to stop the clock. It is first and goal. Kettle tried to push him in and may have hurt himself.
Yeah, he comes up holding that left side.
Oh, bad news. Quarterback Garrett Kettle was first lead blocking in front of Rayshon, and then Rayshon got in front of him. Garrett tried to push him in, and now quarterback Garrett Kettle is holding his left arm, forearm, wrist, something over there.
Yeah, and you look over the far sideline, Luke Laskowski started into the ball game, but Kettle waves him off, so Luke's going to go stand next to Coach Osborne, and Ravens are going to burn their second time out because they're down to 7 on the play clock.
Okay, we're going to hang on to it right here because I don't think this is going to take for long. And you were talking about the practice. Well, I was talking to Coach Osborne, and this was also during our conversation in the pregame. I said, how do you know, when you're preparing for a team like a Penn, a team that you're going to see maybe no one like for the course of the season, you know, how do you do that? He said, total props to our scout team. He said they had like 2 days to learn and assimilate this William Penn offense and then to run it effectively against the Benedictine defense so that they could prepare and get ready to see it. So, you know, you got to give props to your scout team. And for Penn, I don't know if a scout team is going to be able to do that, yeah, to what BC does.
I mean, and especially whereas Penn isn't recruiting those type players, right? I mean, they're not going to recruit a 5-wide-looking set. So, yeah, I think it would be a little more difficult for a William Penn. Now, for Benedictine, they are looking at a first and goal from the 1, having to burn their second timeout right there. But at the 6:53 mark, I don't think it's really going to be that big of an issue. Right now, the bigger goal is you've got to get in the end zone and have 3 straight possessions in this ball game where you score touchdowns.
And staying in the game, Garrett Kettle, he will run the ball club. Working behind his center, Jared Mullen. Running back, Rayshon Mills for BC. 2 receivers to the left side. Going to have a tight end on the right side for the Ravens. Going to be Court Madison is over there. Now QB is going to keep it himself and just lean and twist and shove, and he did not get in. Garrett Kettle needed a yard, got about a half of one, and could not get in because Penn knew what they were going to do, so they just stacked everyone inside.
Look at the play clock, the play clock is down to 4, 3, 2, and now they're going to reset it. See, if I'm the Penn coaching staff, I'm a little upset with that because if this thing should be under 30, instead it's on 35.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly correct.
So the Ravens are going to bring Drake Prey into the ball game. He's going to be in there along with Rayshon Mills at the back.
Prey's a 6-foot sophomore from Tonganoxie, Kansas. Hand off Rayshon and walks in. Touchdown, Ravens! He just follows Drake Prey into the end zone, unscathed. And with 6:10 to go in the opening half, Benedictine extends its lead. Now it is 20-10, Ravens.
That time, Rayshon did a great job. He followed Drake Prey right through the middle and then kind of turns his shoulder pad sideways. Nobody touches him as he walks into the end zone for his second rushing touchdown of the evening.
PAT attempt coming up for the Ravens and Tegan Trammell. Garrett waiting for the snap, and the kick is up, and count it. Taking a break, Joseph. We're at the 6:10 mark of the opening half. Ravens 21, Statesman 10.
Hot or cold, no matter what the temperature outside, the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison is your source for fan food, not fast food. Check out their chill menu with blizzards, shakes, sundaes, cones, and so much more. Or stop by for their $5 lunch and choose between a 3-piece chicken strip or deluxe cheeseburger with side, drink, and sundae, just $5 plus tax. And don't forget to sign up for the DQ Fan Club for special offers, monthly emails, and much more. Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. It's fan food, not fast food.
KAIR-FM Horton, Atchison.
At Union State Bank, we've never stopped learning. In over 120 years, we've never stopped expanding our technology. To keep Union State Bank of Atchison and your finances moving forward, we provide innovative banking services while protecting your information. From our Union State Bank app to mobile and online banking tools, we're always looking ahead to serve you better without losing that small-town banking feel you love. Learn more today at mybankusb.com.
So Benedictson kick is away. It's going to be taken by another man who drops it, goes back and picks it up, and does not get to the 20-yard line. As Nelson Upman stepped in front of the deep return guy who was running up to catch it, and then lost it, reached down, picked it up, was covered up, and we got a penalty marker out in the middle of the field near the 30-yard line.
Solomon Wallace was down there for the Ravens in the kick coverage unit to make the stop, and this penalty marker is around the 29-yard line. Officials huddling it up, and now they're backing away from the Raven defensive huddle. Depending on where that is, you got to think that's some kind of a blocking infraction against the return team.
Did you get that at all?
It's not like he said that there was no targeting on the play.
Okay.
So, the ball is going to be spotted down at the 20-yard line on the far hash, and that's where William Penn will start their fourth possession of the evening. They've got a field goal, a punt, a touchdown on their last possession.
Ravens leading at 21-10, and stick around with us for a halftime. This season we're going to be talking to players who have participated in some of the anniversary playoff teams that are being celebrated this year. And we've got some great interviews in store for you. We'll talk about the one coming up here today in just a moment. But right now, William Penn, first and 10 to their own 20-yard line. Straight ahead run, nobody home. Boy, they give that to Ben Sherman, and the Raven defense stiffened that time. Maybe a yard will generously give him that, and Isaac Anderson and also Dwayne Lacy. 90-91 in there for the Ravens.
And at halftime today, we're going to show the fullbacks some love, right?
Yes, we've been talking about fullbacks all day, like Ben Sherman here for William Penn, but for Benedictine, one of the great fullbacks, sporting number 44, a good fullback number. And how about Mr. Hubbard?
Yeah, Brad Hubbard will be our halftime guest today.
Second down, 9. Hand off into the middle and maybe back to the line of scrimmage. Certainly no more than that, as that ball was carried straight ahead by Ben Sherman for nothing. Isaac Anderson again. Gus, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast an adjustment by him was going to stop those running plays by Sherman, and that's precisely what has gone on here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that Isaac Anderson, on especially this possession, has all of a sudden decided, I've got to make this play. And he's doing a great job of pushing the center back, hitting into the backfield, making these hits and stopping the fullback Sherman.
And now Penn really is behind the chains on a 3rd and 8.
Second. It is 3rd, you're right.
3rd down, 8. And Penn is going to take a timeout because this is not in their wheelhouse. We're going to take it with them. Timeout on the field at the 4:46 mark of the opening half. Benedictine 21, William Penn 10.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG. Unaffiliated entities.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes 2 complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and 5 clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
Back with you. So William Penn utilizing a timeout, coming out looking at a 3rd down, 8 at their own 22-yard line. Ravens lead by 11. Quarterback is straight back to throw. Now steps up. He's hit behind the line of scrimmage, spins down, and he may lose a yard. Raven defense was hot on the heels of Alex Crean, and Gus Benedictine did what they wanted to do by forcing William Penn to try to do something they don't like to do and don't do well.
Jalen James and Zach Gill doing a great job getting back there and hitting the quarterback, and no gain on the play. But yeah, you talked about it. William Penn is not going to drop back and throw the ball very often. And that time, they were forced to drop back, and James and Gill were in the backfield in a hurry. Now with 4:11, Pitt is going to give the Ravens another possession.
Trapper Beam will stand at his own 5-yard line to punt it away to Austin Buteau. Snap, perfect, the kick away, and the wind will push it. Buteau will see it bounce in front of him, and is he going to take it off the hop? He's got to get away or pick it up. One or the other, Austin. It rolls down to the 15 and down to the 14-yard line. You can't be dancing around that ball. One miscue, and it's going to be down at the 14-yard line.
16 yards is what Austin Buteau just lost the Ravens by just not picking it up.
Right?
It hit, bounded 20, but at the 16-yard mark, he had a shot to pick it up, backed away from it, and now the Ravens are going to be deep in their own territory with their worst starting field position of the day. They're going to be at their own 19.
Here comes the Benedictine offense. It is first and 10. Garrett Kettle, who is kind of nursing that left arm or wrist earlier, seems to be fine. He's back out on the field for the Ravens. Benedictine would like to score one more time here, the last 3:45 to go in the half. Quarterback is back. He's got absolutely all day, and now he's going to throw one, and it's going to be knocked away at the 20-yard line out of the hands of Trey Adger. Incomplete, but I'll tell you what, plenty of time for Kettle. That offensive line doing a great job.
Yeah, that offensive line has really held up well so far today. And for the Ravens, this is a big possession. Right now, you're up 11. You've got the football, and you're going to get the football to start the second half. So a score right here and a score in the second half could ice this thing away.
Second down, 10, Benedictine. Raven fans across the way, visitor stands. Here's a handoff running back. He's going to be hit at the line of scrimmage. There's nothing doing.
Yeah, that time Rashawn Mills was able to bounce off the first would-be tackler, but was not able to get away from Demarion Hunter, the sophomore outside linebacker from Rolling Brook, Illinois, a 25-tackle guy last year for this team.
Raven fans, to set you geographically, Raven, this field goes north and south, and Raven fans on the far side, which is the east side of the field, and they've been brutalized by looking straight into the sun beating down on them all afternoon. It's been a tough, tough half sitting over there, but it's been an enjoyable half as the Raven team is in front approaching intermission. Third down, 10, Benedictine. Kettle, an extremely long count, back to throw again. Still with all the time to run, now he's going to run. 20, picks up the first down, and a good quarterback feet first slide gets hit. No marker goes down. Took the feet first slide, and Kettle not real happy with the fact that he got a thump after he went down to the ground.
Yeah, that time free safety Colton Horak came up and kind of put a bump on him after the slide, but no penalty. 2:36 left here in the first half, and the Ravens will have it first and 10 at their own 28.
I look for little signs, you know, out of the field just to kind of get a feel for what's going on. And one of them that I've just seen out there in the field, Gus, is you got a couple of defensive players who are already down on one knee between plays. That tells me they're getting a little tuckered out and that the heat and the wear and tear is beginning to take a toll. First and 10, Benedictine. Kettle, play action again. Back, pumps, pulls it back down. Rolls right, throws again. A receiver wide open and is caught with a sliding effort by Zach Bierman, but man, he didn't pick up much. Well, maybe more than I thought. Half a dozen, maybe, on that play. It'll bring up a and four, second down and four for Benedictine, but the clock rolling quickly. Minute 45. BC back to throw again. Looking left, throwing left. Got a man deep. Dropped at the 40-yard line.
That time, William Penn wasn't even lined up on defense. They were all standing there looking at the near sideline, and Kettle called for the ball from Jared Mullen, took the snap, and just launches one down the left side. He was looking for, is that Harry? Yeah, Harry O'Neill, and Harry O'Neill could not quite hold on to it. Stop the clock with a minute 41.
That was a great play and a great call by senior quarterback Garrett Kettle just to get that play away, and that thing had some potential. Third down and four for BC. Receiver's going to shift over to the wide side of the field. Kettle's going to be back to throw once again. Pumps, fakes, pulls back down, throws it into the left flat, caught, 35, first down, 40, running out of bounds. Trey Adger across the way. He'll stop the clock as he gets to the 41-yard line, and we're at a minute and a half to go with a half.
Nice underneath drag right there by Trey Adger, working from right to left, is able to get right in the vision of the quarterback, Garrett Kettle. Kettle slings it to him. Pick up as much yardage as you can, but get out of bounds and stop that clock momentarily.
William Penn, just look at their defense out there. There is no bounce there. In the step.
See, Osborne's jumping up and down, and I was kind of thinking the same thing, that the clock should have stopped. He went out of bounds, entered the first down. No, I mean,
it was a minute 35 when I looked. Now it's 24. Yeah, that's wrong.
Right.
There you go. That's exactly the right number, 135.
So, because I was like, look, and I couldn't understand why it was still going under the 2 minutes.
Ravens coming up over the football at their own 41-yard line. Benedictine enjoying a 21-10 lead, looking for a little bit more as we approach halftime. Kettle is back, looking. Now drops more deeply. Now throws the ball and just gets rid of it. It's going to go incomplete. Kettle takes a big hit back at the 25-yard line. And he gets the lineman to come over and help him back to his feet. It'll bring up a second and 10 after the incompletion.
That time he got hit by Rogan Forts, who was the number four tackler on this team last season. And now Rogan is going to stumble off the field and get looked at by the training staff. So not sure. He got injured right there, just a little winded at the moment. Now the Ravens are looking for a second and 10 with a minute 27 left in the first half.
BC at its own 41-yard line. Guess the Ravens have shown us they can score from pretty much anywhere on the field. QB's back. The blitz is on, and quarterback sacked. That was a delayed blitz from the corner over on the right side who held up about one count and then came in untouched like a rocket. Spencer Steele, you got him as a safety.
Yeah, and that time lined up over the corner, and he came up, made a big hit, and Kettle holding on to the football there. And I'm a little surprised that Penn isn't utilizing a timeout.
We go inside 1 minute to play in the first half.
And they're happy to get to half, too.
After the loss in the play for Benedictine, the Ravens will be looking third and 16 at their own 35-yard line, leading it to 21-10.
Correct play call?
Oh, screen.
Draw.
Yeah, 100%. Screen draw, something that length. You don't need to go deep here. Quarterback is rough. He's being chased. He's hit. He breaks away. A holding call. He's intercepted. That was a bad play in about three different ways for Benedictine. The Ravens are going to be penalized, and it'll be declined. And Kettle throws an interception after being chased out of the pocket.
You attack bad on top of bad right there. Kettle steps up. There's the holding call against the Ravens, and it's going to be declined. He stepped up in the pocket, and instead of just running and keeping that clock going, throws an interception. It's going to be picked by Colton Horak, a safety for William Penn, and right now the Statesmen have the ball at the 49-yard line, so just shy of midfield.
Yeah, here's a huge opportunity for William Penn to maybe chip away a little bit of that Benedictine lead before halftime.
But the problem is, with only two timeouts. Now they're going to mark it in Raven territory at the 48, so give them about three more yards. Problem is, it's not an offense designed to go 48 yards in 3 seconds.
They got three plays.
30 seconds.
They got three plays basically before halftime. Here's the first and 10. Penn at the Raven 48. They stay with their same formation. Quarterback, three-step drops, goes right, throws right. It's going to be caught in the middle of the field and drops short of the first down, and that does not stop the clock. They're going to have to burn a TO. It'll be a second down two when we return. Timeout, 23 seconds left in the half. Ravens lead 21-10.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hot or cold, no matter what the temperature outside, the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison is your source for fan food, not fast food. Check out their chill menu with blizzards, shakes, sundaes, cones, and so much more. Or stop by for their $5 lunch and choose between a 3-piece chicken strip or deluxe cheeseburger with side, drink, and sundae, just $5 plus tax. And don't forget to sign up for the DQ Fan Club for special offers, monthly emails, and much more. Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. It's fan food, not fast food.
As we come back, William Penn runs out of the field, a quick snap to
quarterback Alex Crean, who rolls right, throws right, incomplete. It's going to stop the clock. Tyler Wilson with a little heat on Crean. Wilson, a linebacker for Benedictine out of San Clemente, California. Wasn't that the longtime home of Richard Nixon, right? San Clemente?
Over my head.
Okay. 19 seconds to go before halftime. Help me out, Joseph. Is that San Clemente that was the Nixon West Coast White House? Third down call. Handoff is going to go straight ahead. They had to get a first down, and they will, inside the 35-yard line. And they'll pick up 6 or 7, and the Ravens are willing to give them that. Last timeout being used by Penn. We'll hang on to it right here with 18 seconds to go in the opening half.
Jalen James tallies yet another tackle for this Raven defense. And
now, did Penn use a timeout or not?
The official ran up and signaled timeout. Now Penn's like, I didn't call that. So now the officials huddled up back over the football. You got to understand, it's their first game too this season.
It is a 1st and 10, and I go right to the highest authority I know on presidential information, and it is, in fact, San Clemente, the Richard Nixon home. Thank you. Thank you,
gentlemen. Get it, NW.
Well done. Okay, 1st down, 18 seconds to go in the first half. One receiver left, one receiver wide right. Penn does not look comfortable with that. That's a very spread formation for them. As QB, 5-step, drop back, rolling, being pursued from behind, is going to run. Penalty marker's on the hold, and quarterback is going to run out of bounds. Crean across the way inside the 20, and big collision out of bounds on the far side, running over an official. The official getting up off the ground. Quarterback over there getting up off the ground. Penalty marker's out there at the 30, and that has to be a hold in the front of that quarterback run.
Yeah, it's going to be a hold, and the worst part is that the play kept going, and so they're going to have one play, 7.8, probably just fall on it, right?
Well, you'd think. You can't kick a field goal, I don't think, from here, particularly into the wind right now. There you go, replaying the first down. The penalty will be assessed from the spot of the infraction. It goes back 35, 40, 44-yard line. So Penn at the Benedictine 44. And they did not assess that timeout to them earlier. So Penn, if they could get something off very quickly, does in fact have one timeout remaining. But again, very brisk wind here this evening. We'll see what they elect to do. They're huddling it up. Now the play coming in from the near side. Coach is starting to send one guy in. Now doesn't. Now sends another guy in. The play clock has not begun running yet. And I don't know why. I guess it's, I don't know why. I can't even come up with a good reason.
Play clock should at least be running.
Play clock should have been running a long time ago. There, it starts at 20. By now it starts running as they come up over the ball. My QB's back to throw. Alex Crean looking, rolling, looking, running up the right side, steps out of bounds, and stops the clock with 1.8.
That was better than he probably tried to do.
Yeah.
Right, I think he was just going to try to pick up as many yards and get to half. But instead, he picked up a few yards, and he's going to step out of bounds and buy them one more play.
And I'm looking to see if they're sending the kicker in. They are not. They're going to send a wide receiver in Gavin Roundtree.
Okay,
the game,
Gavin
out of Stephenville.
Yeah, Gavin Roundtree's a freshman out of Stephenville, and I was kind of reading an article on the William Penn offseason and things like this. This is a kid that they're really excited about coming in from Stephenville. So, be
of course, you know, you've been to Stephenville, Texas. You know where that's at.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah, just south of the Fort Worth Metroplex a little bit. And here's the thing, though. I'm surprised you're really excited about a wide receiver coming into an offense that will throw the ball 5 times a day.
Threw the ball all 25 times last year.
See, exactly. So I'm not sure what kind of a huge impact, you know, even the finest receiver is going to have on that team. I mean, Michael Irvin is not going to be much help if you throw the ball 20 times a year. 1.8 seconds. 1.8 to go in the opening half. Penn burning their final timeout. Why not? They're going to try to bring it to play. Look at a score or something from what will be a line of scrimmage at the 42-yard line. Halftime interview.
hubs. Don't need to say much more than that, do you? If you know him, you'll know who it was. If you don't know him, listen, you'll learn all about him, and he's a great guy and a wonderful interview. Good man to be in the community in the nearby area. Ravens are going to drop a man deep. They're not completely convinced here. They're just going to kind of play a safety man back at the goal line. Quarterback's back to throw. Final play of the half. He's going to throw it as hard as he can. It's going to be at the goal line, picked off by two Ravens at the goal line, and that will take us to halftime. We'll be back to summarize the opening half for you. It's intermission in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Halftime score, Benedictine 21, William Penn 10.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right part. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Great to have you along with us here on CARE Radio. College football, the beginning of the 2021 season. And Benedictine on the road here today. Goes to the locker room at halftime, leading William Penn 21-10. Welcome back with our man Joseph, producing and engineering in the CARE Sports Studio. Gus Scott's here. And Gus, a quick recap because we got to get to hubs here. But Penn did what you thought they would do. Benedictine did what they thought they would do, and the halftime has what I thought I would see. How about that?
Yeah, I think so far everything's gone to script, right? William Penn has come out. They've run the ball quite a bit. It's been mostly Ben Sherman, and I think in the second half they're going to get back to Sherman and trying to establish the run. The biggest problem they're going to run into right now, they're down 11. They're going to give Benedictine the ball to start the second half. They really can't afford to go down 18 at any point in the second half. And for Benedictine, they're going to have to take care of the football. Three possessions, three touchdowns on their very fourth possession. Kettle with an ill-advised pass, and I think if you talk to him, he's going to say, yeah, I really should have thrown that on the interception. And the Ravens ended the first half by picking off William Penn on a Davion Drayton interception at the goal line.
No question about Benedictine. You know, we got to talk about this as the game goes on, but you mentioned exactly Penn and who's running the ball. For Benedictine, I don't know.
Javi Bloomquist is really Garrett Kettle.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got your quarterback with 57 yards, one running back with 29, and one running back with one.
Yeah,
so
you got to start looking at the numbers. 45 going to be Rayshon, and 18 is Wigan. So.
Exactly. That said, bottom line, Ravens with a nice halftime lead. We're going to be back and bring you the second half live from Iowa. But right now, with your intermission score, Benedictine 21. William Penn 10, we're kicking it back to Joseph at the CARE Sports Studio. Stick around.
Your Raven Halftime is brought to you by Taco John's. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. The Raven fan feature is up next here on KAIR 93.7.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
We're joined by Brad Hubbard, Benedictine college football player from one of the great teams. Brad, it's good to talk to you. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are great. We're excited. This is a halftime first game of the year, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit about football and your teams. But first of all, I think everybody wants to get the update. Give us the Brad Hubbard, how's it going and what are you doing story.
Oh, Brad's doing well. I'm starting my 19th year in education in St. Joseph, Missouri. Got a smoking hot wife, and she's teaching as well. It's her 18th year, and I got two kids, my son, Peyton. He'll be a freshman this year, and my daughter is 11, Kendall. She's going to be in the sixth grade this year. I'm not coaching football anymore. I am coaching both boys and the girls' golf programs, and I've been the head wrestling coach at Benton High School for 14 years. So getting ready to start year 15, actually. At Benton. So pretty excited about what's going on and, you know, happy to be talking with you guys and catching up.
Okay, so you're a St. Joe guy. I mean, born and raised, right?
No, I actually from Lawson, Missouri, just about an hour from St. Joe. So, I mean, I'm a Northwest Missouri kid. But, no, I moved up here right after college, but I grew up in Lawson.
So how does a kid from Lawson, Missouri find his way to play football at Benedictine? It's got to be kind of a cool story with the recruiting and how you ended up at BC.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, growing up in Lawson and playing football and being, you know, a big fan of, you know, a lot of the local teams and colleges, whether they're small college or you know, the big colleges, just kind of followed and, you know, read a lot about Benedictine and one day got a call from a guy named Dan Griggs, who was one of the coaches on staff there and coached baseball at Benedictine for a while. And he was kind of the KC metropolitan area guy that recruited a lot of us, you know, came down, visited with us and spoke with us. And, you know, we kind of got the ball rolling, invited us up on a visit. And that was probably the third or fourth visit I'd been on. And when I came to campus there in Atchison, I was like, yep, this is it. This is the place I wanted to be, just, you know, the beauty of the campus and, you know, the school and the atmosphere, and then meeting with the football guys and meeting Coach Wilcox, you know, just his demeanor and personality was, you know, as a player, exactly what I was looking for, somebody who wasn't going to beat around the bush, somebody who's going to be open and honest and really push me to be, you know, somebody that I knew I could be. So kind of a fun – a fun time of my life. Kind of a fun way to explain that is, you know, just the coach I feel like I am today, I attribute a lot to the coaches I had in school and definitely the coaches I had in college. So I couldn't say I do anything different.
Had to be cool, too, to be able to stay this close to home. So all your family, friends, I mean, they had great opportunities to watch you in your college career.
Yeah, I mean, I was only, Atchison was only an hour and 15 minutes from home. So it was, close enough for me to take my laundry home to my folks. And it was far enough away that I didn't really have to worry about them dropping in on me all the time. So it was perfect though. I mean, mom and dad, my brother and sister, you know, and aunts and uncles, I mean, they came to a lot of the games and my folks were there, you know, whether we traveled or whether we were at home. But we had people there, which was awesome to have your support, you know, your support system there, supporting you and watching you and cheering you guys on.
And you were in one of the great teams and one of the great stretches with individuals on your teams that were spectacular, names that we're going to remember. And, you know, we're particularly this year, Benedictine, recognizing the 0-1 team. It was just a fantastic year.
Yeah, I mean, we still connect with a lot of those guys and we talk about it. And you sit and think about it. There was a lot of kids from that Dan Griggs recruiting class that were relevant for several years there at Benedictine. You know, the Matt Fowlers, the Jason Carlins, you know, Josh McAllister, Hurst, myself, you know, Michael Watson. You know, guys that all kind of grew up around Kansas City area, you know, and we would read about each other's names in the Kansas City Star in high school, you know, checking the leaderboard on Saturday morning after a Friday night game, who made the top five, you know, Friday night rush list or passing yards or completions or receptions. And that was just something that, you know, when you went to college and you met those guys face to face, some of those guys that, you know, you read about in the paper, you know, reading the story about, you know, Park Hill had a game, and, you know, Josh went off in a game at Park Hill, or, you know, or whatever. It was neat to finally meet those guys and get an opportunity to play with them. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool to be able to, you know, hear about those guys before college, but then play with them in college and develop, you know, lifelong friendships with them.
And you were an integral part of this team. I mean, you were a two-time all-conference player, as I recall, and the fullback.
Yeah,
okay, let's talk also. We got to talk about fullbacks because for Gus and I, special place in our heart for that position. That, let's face it, Brad, people are missing a boat with the, you know, with the fullback these days.
Well, I tell you what, it was a unique transition for me, and it was not easy. You know, I came out of a wing tee offense in high school where I was getting, you know, 25 touches a game, and our fullback in that offense, he was, we both toted the rock a lot in high school, and you know, when they always say when you go, you know, go to college and you're coming out of a, you know, a high school or a smaller high school, you know, you're a big fish in a small pond. And when you go to college, I don't care where you go or what sport you play or what college you're at, what division you're playing, you are a little fish in a big pond, and you really do have to learn how to be a freshman again. And in my situation, I was just really driven to be a guy that wanted to run the ball. And I think they found some intangibles that I had that could be suited maybe in front of that tailback. And funny enough, I had a hard time with it at first just because, you know, instead of getting, you know, Josh getting 20, 25 carries, you know, Brad's getting 6, 7, 8, kind of selfish, but I think not really looking at it selfishly. I kind of looked at it just from a competitive standpoint. That's just kind of who I was at that time. But I knew that, you know what, I'm going to approach this with the mindset that I can be a weapon. You know, I can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm not afraid to get it up in there between the tackles, and I sure as heck don't mind running into somebody. You know, I was a wrestler my whole life, too. So I think a lot of those things kind of stacked up for me to be a pretty effective fullback. And funny enough, the entire time I played fullback, I refused to call myself a fullback. I called myself a three-quarter back because I wasn't quite the halfback, but I wasn't a traditional fullback. So I kind of coined the term for myself in my mind, a three-quarter back. And later in my career, I actually ran a lot of what we did out of fullback. I ran out of a two-point stance a lot of my junior and senior year because I was just so comfortable with my hand not on the ground, you know. And I had better vision. I just felt like I could read things a lot better. And I didn't know at first if Coach Wilcox would even you know, be kind to the idea, but we worked on it in spring ball a little bit, and I think he saw some of those things that, you know, this kid can do this out of the 2-point, and he allowed me to have some freedom with that.
We're visiting with Brad Hubbard, member of the 01 team being recognized this year, and I want to say what, Brad, 02 graduate of BC, is that right?
Yep, 02, yep.
Okay. Now, every player has a memorable, maybe in your entire career, one play. May I share with you my Brad Hubbard moment?
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I'm in St. Charles, Missouri. Okay, are you with me on this one?
Yeah, we're playing Lindenwood.
Benedictine with the football, of course. They run BEX. Remember that? Belly. The handoff goes to Hubbard. Breaks through, sprints down the field. This is probably the longest fullback run maybe I have ever seen.
And tell me I got caught by a defensive lineman. Please don't tell me that.
It was that turf, that terrible, terrible turf in Lindenwood.
Yeah.
It was all ripped up and torn up, and you didn't quite get to the end zone, but it was a spectacular run. I mean, it was that dream run for, I'm sure, a fullback where you break through the line, and suddenly it's like, there's daylight here, man. You don't get get daylight.
Those are awesome. Oh yeah, yep. Those are the best. You know, I ran track in high school. I was a state medalist all 4 years track. Ran over 400. You know, and I wasn't built. I went to college, put on a little, you know, a little bit of frame. I wasn't quite the didn't have quite the foot speed I did in high school. But I always felt like I could run away from people, but I think on that play, you can blame it on the turf, but I think I just got caught, to be honest with you.
No, it was the turf. You were, you had
well,
the video.
Well, I appreciate that. That makes you feel better.
Hey, not only the 2001 team, but you were also on, other, playoff teams. I mean, when you the 2000 team, when Benedictine at one time of the season, number three in the nation, of course, in 01, you got up to number three, a 10-1 season going to 12-2. And, in 02, you were still postseason at 9-2. I mean, man, those are great seasons. Those are great years.
Yeah, I mean, we won a conference championship my sophomore year, I believe. I mean, my freshman year, we had a great team. We just couldn't stop anybody. No offense to the defensive staff. I mean, we had some young dudes over there, but it was brewing. I mean, I remember when I came in there, I was like, man, there's a lot of talent on this team, and I was lucky enough as a freshman to get thrown in the mix a little bit on special teams, and I got I spelled Jesse Carter a little bit. When his shoe came off or came untied, they threw me in. And got to carry it a little bit. And I got to see very quickly that, man, there are some high expectations for what we have on the team. And I think we finished 5-5 maybe my freshman year, but we were way better than that. And, we got some, older kids or, kids that matured in the offseason on the defense side of the ball, and Coach Gartmeyer really got them guys locked in. And we were tough on defense the next year, and our offense was, still pretty solid. And we just went on a run. We won the conference, I believe, our sophomore year. Then, got hot again as the junior year, went to the semifinals. And then, then we go down our senior year, we make the playoffs again, it was awesome. It was a time I'll never forget.
The playoff game at Evangel, if you'll remember that game, that would have been your junior year, I think. And you had lost to Evangel in the regular season. We go down to Springfield at John F. Kennedy Stadium, and it was extremely windy. It wasn't windy. It was like hurricane force winds blowing from one end of the field to the other, not across. Coach Wilcox made an incredible decision to kick off to begin both halves because he went to the football with the wind at his back in the second and fourth quarters. I mean, that was one of the great games ever and a huge Benedictine postseason win over a longtime rival and a game that propelled you on that year. You've got to remember that game, I'm sure.
They actually beat us in the regular season, and I believe they go on to win the conference. So we somehow, if I remember right, it was kind of going to shake down. Maybe three teams had a chance to win the conference. Well, we lose the game. And then we have to go down there in the, I believe it's first round, was it? No, second round. In the second round of playoffs. And we go down there and beat them. And when we decide to kick both halves for the win, us running backs are licking our chops because we know what that means. We know that we're going to control the clock. We're going to get the win. I mean, he wants to throw the ball. Obviously, have to win before, if we get a chance to throw the ball. But, I mean, we're going to run the ball a lot in both halves. And we did. I mean, we get down, I believe, a drive late in the game, inside the red zone, I believe inside, the 5 or 10 yard line, and it's fourth down. We get a first down. We seal the game, and he calls my number, and we move the chains. It ain't about getting in. It's just about moving the chains, and you do everything you can. And I believe it was the one time I decided to run the ball like Jesse Carter used to run the ball. And I went up over the top, and I wasn't sure at the time it was a good idea, but I was like, what the heck? And got enough for the first down. And, Jesse was really the only guy back in the day that was kind of allowed to get up and over the top. And, nobody really said anything like, hey, great job. Kind of, like Walter Payton used to do. But, I did it. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. But I was like, what the heck, man? We're trying to win the game. Let's do it. And, I remember that game. It was really windy. Had a lot of family down there, too. And they were froze after the game.
Now, the game before that, just want to talk about one more game. The game before that is the famous Hail Mary pass game. That was the one that got you to the Evangel game.
Yep. That
play. Were you on the field when that play happened?
I was on the field, yes. Believe it or not, they left the fullback on the field. Don't ask me why. I think it was a protection thing. I took pride, in protecting whoever was going to throw the ball. Coach Papa Giorgio, he was a great coach, and he'd always tell me, if you're not getting the ball, and we're and you're in pass protection, you become an offensive lineman. You get in there, get in there and get busy. And I took that to heart. And of course, they're only going to rush like three or four. I mean, they're dropping everybody into coverage. So, well, I don't, I'm in the game. Cool. I got a front row ticket to this. So, Fowler, who catches the touchdown, he's supposed to be in on a jump ball. And I think he gets hung up and goes down. And Craig Johnson, the smallest receiver in the country, probably shortest receiver in the country, who was very talented. He actually beats everybody down there and beats everybody on the jump and tips that ball. And Fowler just has the know-it-all to get up and stay with the play. And that's just what we were always coached to do, just stay with the play. And the ball's tipped, and it's coming to the ground, and Matt just takes a dive and catches it right on top of that pylon. I'll never forget it. You can see the video of the players and the coaches on their sideline. Just absolutely, they're dejected. They lose the game on that play. And we had lost the year before at a home playoff game, not in that type of fashion, but in a last minute, last second kind of score against the team out of I believe Orange City, Iowa, Northwestern, I believe, is who beat us. And it was a shootout like that, and we lost, but we were able to pull that one out, and it was incredible. I mean, helmets were flying. I believe on the video you can see me running down the field without my helmet for about 40 yards. It was something I'll never forget.
Brad Hubbard, you've had a great career as a Benedictine player, great career as a coach up in St. Joe at Benton High School. We really appreciate you taking out some time here and hope that we get a chance to see you down at the stadium and watch the Ravens maybe very soon.
Yeah, I got a son. He's going to be a freshman in high school. He's playing football and loving it. So I want to get down there with the family and support the Ravens and get to some games now that my kids are, a lot more interested in being spectators and things like that. Not only that, but being able to see maybe where, dad spent a lot of time, sweating and grinding things out. So I'm looking forward to it. Wish everybody the best of luck this year, and I really, really appreciate you guys giving me an opportunity to talk to you.
Brad, a pleasure. Good to talk to you, man. Go Ravens.
All right, man. Take care.
The second half is moments away. Thanks for listening to this week's Raven Fan Feature on the Taco John's Halftime Show.
Welcome back to Oskaloosa, Iowa, as Benedictine takes the kickoff to begin the second half, and it's an Austin Buteau return. He'll take it up to the 32-yard line. Ravens are going to begin the second half with the football. They lead it here 21-10. Welcome back, everybody. Joseph is our producer engineer. He's running it all from back at the K Radio Sports Studio. That was Brad Hubbard, former Raven. You heard it halftime. Great job, Brad. Thanks a lot. Gus Kautz to my left. Tom Kautz with you here. Here comes the Raven offense. Gus, at halftime, we noticed the sun beginning to set a little bit. That may help the guys out on the field. Quarterback rolling, looking, and throws it. Gets Buteau open at the 45, and he'll step out of bounds with a Raven first down. And that play belongs to the offensive line. How much time was that?
Yeah, the offensive line gave Garrett Kittle all kinds of time to look down the field, survey everything, and finally find a wide-open receiver. Buteau will make the reception. He'll check out now into the ball game. For the first time today, the true freshman, Jacob Gathright, he's going to be lined up as a wide receiver to the left.
Jacob out of Oceanside, California. We're anxious to see him as he's counted as a tremendous young athlete. Here's a pass over to the left side that was sniffed out, caught by Gathright, and he may lose a yard. He got hit immediately in the defender's suffering, man. Armin Pledge over there, hometown young man out here in Oskaloosa. He's slow to get to his feet, but the crowd loved it because he made a nice play stopping the catch for no gain.
Yeah, Armin Pledge is going to make his way off the field, and for the Ravens, they're going to take Gathright out and bring Buteau back in.
Second down, 10. Ravens are going to shift over to the right side, bringing Court Madison there. The handoff in the backfield, hurdling the first guy, Rayshon. He'll take it over to the left and get across the line of scrimmage, pick up 2-3 yards on what might have been a no-gain situation. So a nice effort by Rayshon, and the Ravens are looking now at a third and long.
Isaac Knutson makes the stop on the play for William Penn. Isaac, a 6'2" defensive end out of Siloam Springs, Arkansas.
Home of JBU. Third down and 7. Benedictine ended up here passing down at their own 48-yard line, just shy of midfield. Defensive front jumps a little bit, but gets back in time. Quarterback takes a snap. Sets up in the pocket. Continues to have tons of time. Now rolling, being chased, throws short. Caught at the 50. Coming out of the backfield, Rayshon, and he'll be tackled well short of the first down. Made the catch, but was unable to advance the ball much beyond that because of great defense by Demarion Hunter.
They're going to go for this.
And the Ravens are? Wow, check this. It's fourth down, Benedictine.
Oh, they're over the football.
Ravens quickly over it on a fourth down and 3. They're going to try to draw them off, aren't they? Or are they going to really go for this? Now they're going to bring Rayshon over to the right side. Ravens just across midfield, and here's a fourth down play. QB back, iso pass, over the middle, caught for the first down. Trey Edger with a half a yard to spare. That was a tremendous roll of the dice, and guess we just learned a little bit about Coach Osborne.
Yeah, Coach Osborne's now 2-for-2 on fourth down opportunities today. And that time you knew he wasn't going to burn the timeout because it was just too early into the second half to waste a timeout. They're going to bring Gath right back in for this first down play at 12-12.
First and 10, Ravens rolling the dice and making it pay off. Coming up with a 7 from the 44-yard line. Back to throw again, Garrett Kittle going deep, over the middle. Got his man off his hands at the 5-yard line. That was a touchdown drawn up, and it is an incomplete pass.
Gathright.
The freshman couldn't hold on.
Gathright had blown by all of his coverage and just couldn't hold on to that football. You want to talk about a young man with some wheels. Jacob Gathright, a 5'10 freshman out of Oceanside, California. He's going to want that one back.
Yeah. He's going to get that back. He's going to get some chances. We knew he was fast. We were told he was fast. Well, now, yeah, he's fast. Second down and 10. That was a great throw by Kettle, too. That was just a well-executed play. Second down, 10. Wrap around, straight ahead, Rayshon, 40. Rayshon pulls down to the 35-yard line. That was a great 9-yard run by Rayshon Mills.
That time coming up to make the stop, Colton Horak. He's the guy who had the interception on the Benedictine fourth possession of the ball game, and quickly the Ravens race back over the football.
Withrow goes over to the left side. Buteau comes over to the right. QB's going to keep it himself. Boots over, gets a block for the tight end, and is going to be hit at the line of scrimmage, unable to advance the ball. And now the Ravens again going to be looking at a fourth down. Will they go for it again? This is a nice tackle coming up from the defensive backfield, Gus, by Colton Horak. He's a tough, tough young player.
And yeah, now the Ravens going to take some time, look over to the far side, and I think Osborne's going to keep the offense on the field. This will be their third fourth down of the ballgame.
Fourth down, 2. Do you throw it again? Ravens threw it a moment ago to Trey Adger. Fourth down, 2. QB rolls left, throws left, has his man and missed him. He had a wide open receiver, Drake Prey, and it was thrown out of his reach. And what do you got?
You got a wide receiver, Reed Levi, standing by himself in the end zone, 35 yards down the field?
Yep.
And the Penn defense is throwing their hands up because nobody saw Reed Levi run by him.
That is incredible. And Garrett Kittle was so focused on his one man, he didn't look at the next downfield, and it will be Statesman football. So the Ravens unable to capitalize on that fourth down attempt. It'll be first and 10. William Penn, their first opportunity at the football of the second half. They trail 21-10 against Benedictine with 10:54 to play here in the third quarter. Two teams out of the heart of American Athletic Conference coming together for the first game of the 2021 football season. Quarterback steps up, and now the officials will stop play for a moment and pick up the football. They're going to move it back a yard. This officiating crew struggled, okay? I know it's the first game of the year, but they've had some struggles tonight. Spotting the ball struggles, some things like that. Here's a handoff to the fullback who has been their guy all night, and again, it's going to be Ben Sherman busting ahead for 4, Isaac Anderson. I'll tell you what, Anderson's going to be your leading tackler tonight, and part of it is because you're running right at him all night. He's going to get a lot of catches.
Yeah, Isaac Anderson did a good job in the first half. He's right up there. He has 5 tackles leading with Tyler Tierney.
keep your eyes on 43 because Ben Sherman's hobbling out of the ballgame, and that is huge for Penn to not have him in the game. We'll see what if he comes back in quickly. Second down, half a dozen. QB will hand off a little off to the right side at a gain of a yard, maybe two, just across the 40-yard line, looking at a third down, five, from just beyond their own 40.
Isaac Anderson and Dwayne Lacy combine on the tackle right there for the Ravens. And now we're under 10 minutes to play here in the third quarter. Quarterback Alex Crehan taking a lot of time right now looking over to the far sideline. He's looking for a play call. He's probably also looking to try to get his fullback, Ben Sherman, back. But to no avail, Reese Corrigan is going to be your fullback on this play.
Third down. Expect to see quarterback Crehan running the ball here. Oh, he's going to go back to throw. Looking left, throwing left. Has a man wide open, and that pass missed him by about 8 yards. It was very wide to the left side as Rodney Hall was going downfield. Davion Drayton had the inside coverage on him, but the pass was thrown, and it landed 4 or 5 yards out of bounds. Not even close. It will bring up a fourth down, and Penn from their own 40-yard line will punt the football with the wind at their back to Benedictine and Austin Buteau. 9.5 to go in the third quarter still. 21-10, Benedictine. That was your halftime score. Each team with 1 second-half possession. Neither team able to add anything to their point total. Snap back is perfect. The boot away. The wind helps it high and spinning it. Again, Buteau is going to run away from the ball. And again, I don't know why he just keeps dancing around it, and it's going to go into the end zone. Love to watch Austin Buteau, but if I'm riding home with him on the bus, we're going to have a five-hour discussion about get away from the football when they punt it to you and you're not going to field it.
Yeah, if you're not going to field it, just get away.
And the ball will go into the end zone by inches. And now the officials are actually going to be talking about it back there, but I'm sure it was touched in the field of play, but by the time everybody got stopped and the kick coverage guy was able to get stopped, it had gone into the end zone, hadn't it?
I think they're going to say he killed it at the inside the one.
Oh, my goodness. That's what they're going to say. They're going to give him the down of the ball inside the one, and the field can get no longer than it is right now for Benedictine. They got Coach Osborne down here with a very clear-cut conversation with the official on the far sideline. Pretty obvious to me what his feeling is about that call. First and 10, Benedictine. Here's the beauty of this. When you're at your own one-yard line, there's nothing in the playbook you can't run. There's no play that is unavailable to you. Now the officials are going to stop play and huddle up again.
Iowa officials in football, basketball, all fantastic.
They are.
Yep.
We got the referee back there. Field judges standing up over the football. Umpire is holding the football, talking to the players.
Yeah, okay, so they're going to say that he touched the ball and then his momentum took him into the end zone. And by rule, good job, Coach Osborne, by understanding that, says that that's a touchback.
See, and this is, I thought that was how we described it, that he touched it but went into the end zone. Exactly. And so the ball will appropriately come out. Coach Osborne, well done to fight your battle. And the officials had no choice but to interpret the rule as it is written. It is first and 10, Benedictine out of the 20, to the chagrin of the crowd here this evening.
Even Coach Hafner down here talking with the official. Here's the deal. I think he understands the rule. He knows
rule.
But he just would like to have the ball at the one.
We got 9:20 to go in the third quarter. Benedictine leading in the ball game at 21-10, and the Ravens will have it out at the 20-yard line. That's second back-to-back kick return to Buteau. It cost his team by not fair catching or fielding the ball. A lot of yards. At the 20. Long count, Ravens. Hand off, Rayshon. And he'll go left side. That's a tough 5 yards he's able to battle his way for. Up to the 25-yard line.
Colton Horak on the stop right there for William Penn. And he's been really active. for the Statesman coming up from that free safety position. Quickly, the Ravens up over the football. Penn still trying to make those substitutions.
Second down, 5. QB back. Throws into traffic. It's going to be caught by Trey. He breaks the tackle at the 45. Trey's at the 50-45. Trey caught from behind at the 40-yard line. Trey Adger picks up big yardage for Benedict into the Ravens. Will advance to 6. It's first down. We got a William Penn player asking for some help from his training staff. He is down out of the field at the 42-yard line.
And Coach Osborne sitting there trying to get the offense going. But with a cramp right now, we're going to just a little bit of a pause in play.
You and I were talking on the way up how first games of the year, players will battle sometimes having muscle cramps like that. And Patrick Hodapp would tell you, you got to be hydrating weeks ahead of time, not hours. And particularly with a game that at kickoff time, it was a 97-degree feels-like temperature here in Iowa. So this is not a surprise that we got this. And this is not going to be the last guy that we see suffering that leg cramp today.
Always loved game day. Patrick would tell you it's too late to start hydrating.
Too late. Hey, next week, we're going to have high school football on Friday night and then the Benedict and Raymond's at home for their home opener on Saturday. We will have the Atchison Redmen and Lafayette on Friday night. It's going to be at Amelia Earhart Stadium, Atchison. And tell you what, team that they played last year to start the season. Then Saturday, it'll be Benedictin. Huge game with Grandview.
Grandview a winner earlier today against Central Methodist.
First and 10 BC. Motion will come right side. 2 to the left, 1 to the right. Very high snap. Pulled down by Kettle. Hand off straight ahead. Look at Rayshon. Power his way across the 40 to the 35, down to the 34-yard line. Great 7-yard run by the senior from California, Rayshon Mills. Ravens back at the line of scrimmage. The defense is not off the tackle. Gustin, the offense is over the football already. Second down and short. Benedictine offense is moving. Hand off again, Rayshon. Gaping hole. First down, 30. Spins 360. Down to the 26, maybe the 25-yard line.
I really like how the Ravens have sped it up when they feel like they need to, right? So, like, a big gain on first down. Speed things up on second down. Get up over the football before the defense really gets set, before they're able to make any substitutions. But then you're able to slow things down like right now. You picked up the first down. The play clock already down to 20 before you even get the play in. So you're able to kind of switch gears and keep the defense on its heels.
Madison is out. Levi back in for Benedictin. First and 10 Ravens at the 26. QB's back. Looks right. Pumps once. Pulls it back down. Now rolling right. Looking now. Tucks it. Going to run. He's at the 25, 20. And feet first slide down to the 14-yard line. Garrett Kettle picking up yardage.
And what a nice block out there by Trey Adger. As Adger was in the route, he realized that the quarterback Kettle was going to keep the ball, so he turned around, laid a good block on his cornerback over here on the near side, and that was Kevin George, able to box George out and allow Kettle to get that big run. It's now a 2nd and 2 with 7:17 left in the third quarter. Ravens up 11.
Marquise Knighton coming out of the game for William Penn because he's just so big, he needs a little breather. Second down, 2 BC inside the 20. Quarterback, a little delay, QB draw, and he goes straight ahead and again goes into that feet-first slide. But he started it too soon. I don't think he picked up a yard.
Nah, maybe a yard is going to still.
If he went head-first, he picks up a first down.
It's going to be 3rd and short. And for the Ravens, they're going to take Damon Weigand out. They're going to bring Rayshon Mills in for this 3rd down call.
We mentioned Marquise Knighton for William Penn. Big nose tackle. He came out of the game a moment ago. Still getting some air. But tell you what, at 5'11 and 360, he is a big man. Second team all-conference last year. He's a force to be contended with. But he is hot and tired. Now there's movement all over the front. Defense moves. Quarterback throws a free play. And now we're going to get a second flag as he throws the hat.
No.
We're going to have a pass interference down to the 5.
I think we're going to get him for running out of bounds. And it's just a, hey, you ran out of bounds type thing. I feel like the only thing we have here is the false start. See, the problem right now for Penn is they're getting themselves into penalty trouble. Right? Early on, they had a taunting penalty that cost him 15 yards. Instead of a 3rd and 10, Benedictine gets a free 15, turns it into a touchdown a couple plays later. Here, they're looking at a 3rd and 2 in an incomplete pass. Then you jump off sides to give them the free first down. Right now, William Penn's defense is not helping itself.
Okay. We're going to look at the penalty numbers here in just a minute. They are exactly like you say they are. 1st and 10, Ravens at the 12.
Is that the first one of the game?
If it's against Benedictine, it is.
Yeah, we're going to get delay. Yep.
So go ahead. This
there
leads
it is.
You right into this
yeah.
conversation.
So Benedictine, with that delay of game, will have their first penalty of the evening. For William Penn right now, they have had 7 penalties for 80 yards. Talk about William Penn. They were a pretty heavily, yeah, they were a heavily penalized team last year. They averaged 70 penalty yards a game.
And so far today, they are at?
What did we just say, 80?
Yeah, there you go. So now for the Ravens, it'll be 1st and 15 at the 17-yard line. QB will keep it himself, and he goes straight ahead to the 15, down to the 10, down to the 6-yard line. The ball pops loose. It's on the ground. Penn thinks they've gotten it. Officials are racing up over the football. Umpire's down there, and he unstacks it, and Kettle comes up off the bottom with the football. So the Ravens are going to maintain possession. Right down there with Kettle is John Capron, another senior for this team, Gus, that returns for an additional season.
Yeah, Capron, one of those big offensive linemen, 6'6", 275, your tackle out of Columbia by way of Southwest Baptist. This offensive line has been just spot on today.
11 yards gained by Garrett Kettle on a first down call. Kettle has got Reed to the right side. No one else in the backfield with him. QB's back to throw. Looking, rolling, hit, sacked. He did not have anywhere to go. He was going to be hit at the 15, and he'll be thrown for a loss.
That tackle right there by Turner Ellis. Turner, a redshirt sophomore for this team. He was their leading tackler last year, having notched 49 tackles.
Down to the last 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. No one has put any points on the board yet in the second half. Ravens in front, 21-10. Looking now at a 3rd down, 13 at the 15-yard line. The wind, it's kind of hard for me to say from our vantage point right now, but I don't think the wind is quite as strong as it was at the onset of the ballgame because it's begun to darken a little bit here. QB back to throw, looking left, going left, fade pattern, end zone, touchdown! Trey Adger between two defenders. The pass, Garrett Kettle to Trey, and the Ravens stretch the lead.
16-yard touchdown reception. Trey Adger just went up over two defenders and pulled that ball out of the sky. If John Henry's here tonight, he's like, hey, Trey, you want to come play for me? That was an impressive play right there by the senior wide receiver out of Olathe.
Oh, and by the way, the answer is I could. No question, he could. Ravens are kind of come up looking for the point after. Tegan Trammell is your extra point kicker. Garrett set to hold. The point is on its way and good, and we have a timeout. We're down to 4:43 to go in the third quarter. It's now Benedictine 27, William Penn 10.
Hi, this is Todd Gigstad from Exchange Bank. You know, a good banking relationship is built on trust. It's a valuable asset. We offer you quality financial service and common sense advice. We're here to help you reach your goals. When you need a banking partner you can trust, you can count on us. Exchange Bank and Trust, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Exchange Bank and Trust, community-minded, that's my bank.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Now with the cowbell in the background. The kickoff by Benedictine into the wind is going to be high and short and fair caught at the 16-yard line. So that means it'll advance, right?
To the 25, yeah.
Yeah, okay. As that happens, it's my pleasure to remind you that you're enjoying Benedictine Raven football here on CAIR Radio, KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison. 4 minutes and 43 seconds to go in the third quarter of Game 1 of the 2021 season. Benedictine now leading it 28-10. Said 27 a moment ago. Forgotten to add on that PAT. So it is, in fact, 28-10 for those of you keeping your scorebook at home.
For William Penn, this is going to be their seventh possession of the evening. They scored a field goal on their first, a touchdown on their third, and not had much luck since.
Motion will go to the left side. Quarterback is going to hand off the middle of the line. And no, the QB is going to keep it. Sweeps outside. Gets across the 30. That was a very nice run again, as we have seen through the course of the evening, by the quarterback, Alex Crehan, for William Penn, the Statesman, picking up 8 on that first down carry, 2nd and 2.
Jalen James, along with Tyler Tierney, come up and make the stop for the Ravens.
Get pretty dark out now. Those lights are more than full effect and very shiny football field out here.
Sunset at 7:49. It's 8:02.
Yeah, looks about right. I'll get you to check the temp and see you here in a minute if it's gone down much. It is a 2nd down 2. Good place to throw the ball if you wanted to, but Penn doesn't like to. They'll hand it off, and their big fullback will get 3 on a 2nd and 2. Pick up a 1st down.
84 degrees right now. Feels like 90, so...
Tell you what, look downfield, Gus, for William Penn. See a little 75. He's an offensive lineman. He's not a real big guy. Doesn't look big compared to some of them. That's 6'1", 275, Eric Porter. He was 10 yards downfield, blocking on that play. Eric is out of Palmetto, Florida. One of your favorite schools, Palmetto High School.
On the Palmetto.
Yes. They named a highway after him. Did you know that? 1st and 10 at the 36. A little off of speed to the right side and into the hands of Ben Sherman, who is hit high, has his feet taken out from underneath him. It'll be a gain of 4 for the 6-foot senior, Ben Sherman, in his 6th year here at William Penn.
Ravens are going to take out they're going to take out linebacker Tyler Wilson. They're going to replace him with Gavin Spangler right now.
You also got back here in the deep back. You got A.J. back there for Benedictine in the deeper coverage. Those deep cover guys haven't had to work real hard this afternoon. Penn not throwing the ball like that. Play clock has been allowed to wind down to single digits, as the Statesman prepared for it to do. Looking at a 2nd down and long. QB rolls right, throws right, way too high for his intended receiver along the sideline in front of the Benedictine bench, and it'll go incomplete, intended for Adrian Aviles over there, but he was well covered. It'll bring up a 3rd down 7. 3rd and 7, 2.5 to go in the third quarter. We talked about it a little bit earlier as the ball game is moving along in the first half, but these two teams, once they get beyond the day, life gets no simpler for either of them, as they each are playing the predicted champion of the divisions. Benedictine will be playing Grandview, and Penn will be playing Baker next week. So, tough calls for both teams. Here's a pitch, outside sweep, and run out of bounds. Very close to the 1st down mark, and they're going to give him a good stretch as staying in just in front of the Raymond bench. It'll be a 1st and 10. Josh Morris with a tackle, and in the 1st down? Yeah, I thought they were going to give it to him. 1st and 10. Penn at its own 46-yard line. 2.5 to go. Gus, I might get you in a little bit to check on some of the scores around the old conference, as we had 2 midday games and then the rest of the schedule slated for evening contests. Although I would think that we would be one of the further along games with the way Penn runs the ball. Here's a hand up into the left side of the line, and absolutely nothing this time for Sherman. No gain on the play. 2nd down 10.
Okay. So games around the conference today. Grandview knocked off Central Methodist 37-10. It was Evangel over Clark 24-9. In the evening games, early in the 2nd half, Peru State 33, Missouri Valley 7.
Oh, my. Okay.
You've got Mid-America with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter, leading Graceland 42-3 in that ball game.
Okay.
Give me a minute. I'll find that Culver Baker game.
No problem. Second down, and they're going to take close to a yard. We'll call it second down 9. QB back to throw again. Rolls left, has a man inside the 35-yard line. Walks a tight rope, picks up a first down all the way to the Raven 42, and it is first and 10 for William Penn. Nice catch along the near edge by Luke Asters. Look out of Branson. First and 10, and Penn advances the chains. Moving to football. We've got just over a minute to go in the third quarter now.
Wow. In the third quarter, Baker 19, Culver 16.
See, this is a game we talked about. You talked about it on Sports Look.
Wow. J.D. Woods came back this year for Baker.
Quarterback slides down, fakes the pitch on the option, and then turns it into the middle and picks up a tough yard down to the Benedictine 41. One more play coming up in this quarter. How about Garrett Penvedic for Benedictine? Big guy out of Rancho Santa Margarita.
Doesn't that just sound like somewhere warm?
Sounds like a fun place. Sounds like, you know, there's a lot of happy music going on and smiling citizens. Second down 9 today. Benedictine 41-yard line for Penn. Very likely the final play of the third quarter coming up. Motion right. QB hands off to the new running back, and he will twist and turn for several yards, but that's going to do it. It'll bring up third down when we return after a tackle by Zach Gill concludes the third quarter. Coming back for the fourth, the score in Iowa, Benedictine 28, William Penn 10.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
When you want to power up, go pro with Subway. With the new protein bowls, you'll get a footlong's worth of protein. Pick your favorite footlong piled high atop fresh lettuce, tomato, cucumber, and more veggies. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Order in-store, online, or on the app at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Welcome back. We're in Oskaloosa, Iowa. William Penn hosting the Benedictine Ravens. And we're not at the William Penn Stadium because William Penn does not have a stadium. This is kind of a municipal stadium that is a bit of a distance from their campus. And right across the street is being built. That's one of the most spectacular YMCAs I've ever seen. It is gorgeous. Big facility getting coming out here. And tell you what, they've got some things going on here, Tim. You're thinking very hard.
It's Graceland the only Heart of America Athletic School in the state of Iowa to have their own facility? Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, let's see, because Grandview does not. Well, let me put it, only one in the conference, certainly.
But that's what I mean, in the conference.
Right.
Because Clark
plays at a high school field. Where does Mount Mercy play? I'm not sure where they're playing this year.
I think they're getting closer to. Maybe not.
They're starting to think about considering talking about it.
Yeah, they and Park are kind of right there.
Right there. No, you're correct. Graceland is the only Iowa college in the conference with a football facility. Here's a keeper for the quarterback, and as he sweeps to the left side, Knox Kareen is going to be caught from behind, tackled for a loss, bringing up a fourth down and long. Penn thought that was fourth down. The defense comes running out on the field, and then the offense goes, no, give us one more snap. So it is fourth down now for Penn, fourth down and, gosh, let's call it six,
the
full six.
Joe Glazer doing a great job right there making the stop on the play. Right now, William Penn, 2 of 9 passing for 18 yards on the day. Garrett Kettle, 12 of 21 for 146.
Fourth down, QB
just gets tangled up at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if he was trying to run with it or if he kind of lost his footing or what.
I think he lost a little bit of a handle on the snap as he was trying to retreat from center. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be a turnover on down for William Penn. So
if you're William Penn, has the air just gone out of the balloon, whatever air may have been left, as you find yourself with 14-14 to go into the ball game, trailing by a 28-10 margin?
Yeah.
You're down by three touchdowns right now.
You're down by three, and you've scored one touchdown on the day.
Yes. First and 10, you've given Benedict to the football. Pretty good field position. Ravens will operate here at their own 39-yard line.
And conversely, Benedictin has scored four touchdowns on six possessions.
Here come the Ravens. Trey Adger, what a great day he has had. He's in motion left side. QB's back to throw, running for his life. Now we'll throw, and it'll go incomplete. He threw one in the middle of the field, kind of sort of in the direction of Harry O'Neill, although I don't think he was ever really legitimately a player in that reception. But
we were just talking about Garrett Kettle's numbers, 12 of 21 passing for 146 yards, two touchdowns, one interception.
Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, but Kettle's run the ball today 13 times for 73 yards. I'd like to see Garrett just stay in the pocket just a little longer. He's had some pretty clean pockets tonight.
Second down 10, Kettle will immediately make the pitch, sweeping to the right side, getting yardage. Up around the 45-yard line is going to be Rayshon Mills, but he needed 10. He's got about half of that. BC looking at a third down 5 at their own 45-yard line. But now the clock is the issue as we're inside 14 minutes. And again, coming out of the ball game for Penn, and Gus absolutely gassed for the Statesman is Marquise Knight. This poor guy's worked hard and played hard all game, and just the physical wear and tear beginning to show now because, again, it's very, very hot. Third down, Benedictin.
I like how the official ran the clock in the air. It just starts.
Third down, and at 4. QB is back, looking, tons of time. Steps up, now going to run, and again, slides down too quickly, and it is going to bring up a fourth down. If Garrett Kettle is going to be one of your leading runners, and he's had the second most runs of anyone for your team today, if that's going to be the case, and if he's going to do that feet-first slide to save himself, you're going to have to teach him how to do it correctly and when to slide.
Yeah, Kettle and Rayshon both had 13 carries coming here into the fourth quarter. And for Benedictin, how about this? This will be your first punt of the season.
Now, there was a time when I would have said, it looks like a punt, okay? Fourth down and one, just short of the 50-yard line. Punting it away is Matt Heinrich. He'll stand at his own 35. Penalty markers all over the place. Let's see what this is about. That was a really nice kick. But
your up back was stumbling forward.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So now, instead of fourth and one, you're going to have fourth and six.
And now we've got a lot of personnel being changed by William Penn. How many guys are they switching out? Seven? Six? So,
seven.
Yeah, they are, I don't know what they're doing. Are they looking for the block? Are they looking for the return? I mean, they're taking out big guys, putting in little guys is what they're doing.
They only have 10 guys out there, though. That's nice. See, look at the returner. He understands it.
There's 10 guys out there. You're right. Snap is back. Punt is away. That's a nice kick, dandy kick. It is going to be fair catch called for and then missed, and it's going to drive down and be stopped at the one-yard line. What a play. Downfield for Benedictin by Joel Mewis.
Well, the 5-yard penalty kind of helped you out, right? And again, nobody's going to outrun some of these gunners for the Ravens, right?
Nope.
It's going to be tough to outrun a Josh Morris or a Joel Mewis.
The return man for Penn called a fair catch and got away from the football. It took a couple of real quick bounces, and Joel got down, had his heels just inside the 1-yard line, turned around to face the field, and it caught the ball in his chest. Great job of very clearly fielding the ball and not, like Penn did earlier, stumble into the end zone with the inertia.
So, at this rate, though, it might take Penn the rest of the night to travel down the field.
13:26 to go. They're 99 yards away from the end zone.
This will be their eighth possession of the evening.
they'll go for it on fourth down at any point on the field from here, don't you suppose? Here's a handoff left side. That's a hit right at the goal line, close to a safety, but it got out of the end zone. I thought maybe, and I cannot see between the official's toe and the goal line as Dwayne Lacy for Benedictine made a fantastic hit. It is going to bring up a second down and over 10 from inside the one. And this time the quarterback is just going to hunker down and try to fall forward. See, trying to get it a little bit away from the goal line.
But some of the problem with that is you're going to dive forward. Now you're looking at a third and 9. The correct call here is like a quick kick, right? Because if not, then you're going to send a freshman punter out there to try to punt out of the back of his own end zone. The Ravens,
and with a short drop.
Yeah, and the Ravens out there with a big defensive lineman. Eric Chavez, a 6'3", 290-pound freshman out of Lancaster, California.
Do you have a quick kick? Apparently not. Quarterback is going to hand off and stumbling forward and getting really close to the first down. I mean, I think he's gotten it. That was another tremendous run by Ben Sherman. Ben Sherman's not an all-conference player. Somebody's missing a boat. Because he is just tough. He gets some yardage when you don't think anybody could. And I'm always impressed with his effort. And the officials say it is a first down up to the 11-yard line. 12 minutes to go in the ballgame. Benedictine in front.
Penn looks like a team that's leading by 18.
Well, yeah. Instead of trailing by 18.
Right.
Quarterback is back to throw, going deep, has a man with two defenders and a perfect catch between them both. That was an outstanding throw and catch by Rodney Hall. Split two defenders, and the ball goes all the way out near the 50-yard line.
Yeah, that time you had a little bit of a problem. Davion Drayton was the quarterback underneath. You had Jordan Malcolm as the safety over the top, and they were both looking for the interception, just trying to gauge it up and figure out where it was going to be. They kind of slowed up, and a great job by the receiver to split both of them. Take the ball away, right?
Tremendous work, and it is first and 10. William Penn states them to the football at their own 46-yard line. Again, motion will go to the left side. QB's going to keep it now, make the pitch outside. Ball's loose. It's on the ground, rolling around, and Penn's able to recover it. They're getting it. As a matter of fact, they're going to get the ball back in Raven territory at the 48-yard line. Ending up, they're going to pick up about a half a dozen yards or so on that fumble.
Diving on the football over there for William Penn. It's going to be number 21, Archer Charles.
Gain of 6 on a forward fumble. And now we've got another Penn player coming off the field, kind of with his right arm dangling over there is Luke Masters. See the training crew coming over to take a look at him. And again, he will go right to the medical tent. See, when that shoulder doesn't move, that's never a good sign.
I feel like Penn is going to come out of this game pretty banged up.
Second down and 4 for the Statesman across midfield. QB back to throw again, lobbing it downfield. He's got his man and broken up, and there's going to be the pass interference against Benedictine. Ravens are going to claim that it was an offensive pass interference, but they're not going to get that call.
Yeah, I don't really care for this call. They're going to call it on Josh Morris, but Josh turned around and was coming back to the football on an underthrown pass when the receiver ran him over. And again, you got to allow a defender to make a play on the ball. I get it. They are going to call pass interference here.
Officials are talking it over with the Ravens trying to explain it, but there's no explanation that's going to make Joel satisfied. First and 10, Penn. 10:45 to go in the ball game. Statesman have it at the Raven 33-yard line. Benedictine with an 18-point lead.
So for William Penn, that's going to be their 17th first down of the game.
Are you getting used to the new statistics system that the conference has embraced? Here's a handoff to the left side, a run to the left side by quarterback Alex Crehan, and he will take it inside the 20-yard line. And the Raven defense looking like it did in the first quarter here in the fourth by giving up some pretty substantial yardage.
Yeah, so the first couple possessions of the game, Penn was able to move the ball, do some good things. Benedictine felt like they were a little more on their heels. Then all of a sudden they picked it up and they were right back after them. Right now it feels like on this drive, Penn is starting to pick up that big yardage again.
At the Raven 19, Penn trailing by 18 points has a first and 10. QB, the straight-ahead run, and Sherman will get a few more yards. And here's the thing for Penn, as we're inside 10 minutes to play. Picking up 3 yards in the middle, down by three touchdowns, never going to get you where you need to go.
Matt Cobbs is going to check out Joe Glasser back in for Benedictine. Isaac Anderson doing a nice job on the last play making the tackle, but you're right. William Penn out there taking a lot of time in the huddle right now, and I get it that this is a big possession. You've got to score, and you can't get a field goal out of it.
Got a new fullback in there. Sherman still out of the game, and Reeves Grogan out of Edmond, Oklahoma, is your running back. He'll take this handoff, go to the left side, and then he has to pick up 4, 5, 6 yards. And, Gus, the key to all of this for William Penn is following the blocking, and I think particularly some of the blocking in the middle by, and I'm looking for 92, and he's not on my stuff here. So, but for Penn, he's the big lineman who's, like, carrying a mail down there.
Yeah, right now, 92 is going to be a freshman defensive lineman, Gavin Osmond, in there.
Third down for William Penn. Third down at about 3. The Penn offensive line has done a nice job today. Ravens have probably given up more running yards than they would have hoped to. QB will hand off again to the fullback, and this time he's going to fall forward. Hit short, but able to keep some momentum, fall forward, picks up the first down between the 8 and 9 yard line. It is a first and goal for Penn. And Gus in the middle, Benedictine, there was a nice hit in there, but didn't stop him.
Yeah, Jalen James was able to get in there and make a nice stick, but again, didn't really wrap up. It was more of a hit, and the back was able to spin off and forward, able to get it inside the 10 for a first and goal.
Thought I was going to be calling Jalen's name a little more today, but I have not, really. First and goal. Straight ahead running as they go. Now the quarterback will pitch it, sweep it to the outside, and the tackle inside the 5-yard line all the way down to the 2.
Jalen James coming up to make the stop there, along with Adam Wilbers. Wilbers, a 6-foot sophomore defensive back out of Helias High School. And with 8:24 left in the game, Benedictine leads Penn 20-10. It will be a second and goal from the 4.
That last run was by Jerron Roush, redshirt sophomore out of Fullerton. Second and goal from the 4-yard line for Penn. 8:10 to go in the game. The pitch, the sweep right, no, hit, drop for a loss on a play. Tremendous play that time. Again, they threw it to Jerron Roush. Just a long pitch, but the Raven defense sniffed that thing out. How about Gavin Spangler?
Gavin Spangler, a 6'2 sophomore out of Katy, Texas, 11 tackles last year, was able to come up, make the stop on the play, and now Penn backed up a little bit, looking at a 3rd and goal from the 8, and they are in 4-down territory here.
No question about it. We're just about halfway through the 4th quarter, just over 7.5 to play in the game. Wide to the left side is going to be Rodney Hall, only guy in the pattern. Again, the double wing offense. QB slides down, hit the backfield, drop for a loss. That play was facilitated by the defensive end coming up, blocking the quarterback from sweeping to the outside, and then Dwayne Lacy gets up there and makes a tackle.
Yeah,
great, great play.
That's exactly how you draw it up as a defense. And William Penn, you're going to take the points here?
Yep. Well, they're bringing in a kicker. They're going to bring in Ethan Olivas.
Here's the deal. I understand that the points will get you back to a 2-score game, and at some point you got to get the field goal.
And so that's what's going to go on here. It'll be put down at the 16 to 26-yard field goal effort. It is up, and did he get it in the left side? He did. Timeout on the field. The field goal, good from 24. 6:43 to go in the ballgame. Now Benedictine 28, William Penn 13.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700.
Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
Hey, we're back with you. And we certainly hope that where you're sitting and enjoying the ball game is a little cooler and more comfortable than where we're sitting. The box has no windows. Okay, we're on the third floor of the structure. It's all windows, all glass, no air. It's warm enough. I see them next door making muffins for biscuits and eggs in the morning. Here's the onside kick, and Trey Hatch better catch that thing at the 42. The Ravens saw it coming, had the hands team out there. Very alert play by the special team coaching staff.
Well, and for William Penn, it was one of the only things that they could do right now. I mean, they're getting towards the end of the ball game. They need to do something. The offense hasn't scored many points for you. And so right there, the short kick will now give Benedictine a shorter field. They're going to mark this thing down at the 43-yard line.
Here come the Ravens, and it's first and 10. First game of the season, we've seen, you know, what we have known to be the starters out there. Pretty much the game. You suppose we'll see other guys yet? Here's a halfback pass. Look out. They got a man wide open. The trick play caught. 25-20. 15-10. Down to the 5. Count it. Trey Adger. Touchdown, Ravens. It's from Austin Buteau.
Austin Buteau with a 57-yard touchdown strike.
Now, do you show that to the world tonight?
I would have held it for granted.
One more week. But baby, what a play. The pitch from Kettle, Buteau, and then the fans are running like rodents from a sinking ship.
Done. It's a mass exodus after that 57-yard pass from Buteau to Trey Adger.
Here comes the PAT. The Raven fans, and there are not a ton of them, but they're here in good volume and strong spirit. They all look pretty happy across the way, as best I can tell. Certainly that Raven sideline is elated. Here comes the PAT. Snap, placement, kick, and point. Taking a break, Joseph. 6.5 to go in the ballgame. It's on Benedictine now. Ravens 34, William Penn 13.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. Snap Fitness, your affordable neighborhood club, is open. And now is the time to schedule your tan. With 3 tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
We're going to find out here what William Penn team is made of, Gus. After that dagger kind of a play late in the ball game, see how they come out and how they respond. The kick by the Ravens is away. It will be unreturnable out the back of the end zone with the wind behind them, and William Penn will be first and 10 to their own 25-yard line. It'll be interesting for the statesmen to see what personnel they utilize, what things they decide to do, what things they decide not to do, again, just how they approach this whole business. 6.5 minutes exactly to play.
How about an update from Canton?
Oh, yeah?
Start of the fourth quarter, it is Baker 26, Colbert 23.
And by the way, with to all of our fans, if you are still listening on your way, you know, back, say, if you were in, say you were in Arkansas or somewhere today, the Razorback State, and you're driving back to possibly somewhere in Sedgwick County, we welcome you to the broadcast. Hope you're enjoying it. Yes, we lament the loss of the fullback, but we are loving the way the Ravens are playing. Oh. Here's a pick that could have been six, and instead taken back by the receiver. Jumping the route, the ball in his hands, and then it bounces away out of the hands of Davion, or out, was that Davion or Joel?
Joel Mewis,
the retentive receiver, was able to finally catch the ball, took it up the right side, and gets across midfield. So William Penn comes out. This is the answer to our question. They're coming out throwing.
Yeah, why not?
We're down to 6:10 to go in the ball game. Clock rolling along. Benedictine out in front, 35-13.
And that time, as Mewis missed the ball, he turned around and looked at AJ Calcara and told him, "Hey, that was my bad. I was going for the big play there."
First down, 10. QB rolls over to his right side, puts a hand out, and then steps gingerly out of bounds along the near side, stopping the clock and maintaining possession of the football. 5:52 to go. Because as we've lamented the loss of the fullback, though, we have a lot of great interviews with former Benedictine players from the anniversary seasons that they are celebrating this year, of like 91, 96, the, you know, the 01s and 06, all of these. And we're fortunate to have some great guys that we talked to. Again, we talked to Hubs tonight, and we've got guys like Walton Pearl coming up. We've got Matt Fowler coming up, many others. You're going to love to hear halftime interviews from some Ravens from some great teams. Quarterback back to throw for William Penn. Lots of time. Pumps, pulls it back, now runs. Goes over to the left side, hit from behind, stumbles forward, will pick up about 3 or 4 yards. That was a nice one-arm tackle for Benedictine to be able to trip up the William Penn quarterback, and
on the
Alex Crehan gets a few yards.
Yeah, but on the stop right there for Benedictine, Jared Heron, a 6'2" freshman from Moberly, Missouri.
Okay. We're 5 minutes from timeout with 5 minutes to go. We need a TO here. What do you think? QB's back to throw, rolling, throwing, diving to the ground, but the pass is going to be short and incomplete. A little skipping just inside the receiver, out of his reach. 4:50 to go in the game. 35-13, Benedictine. Gus Ravens coming away with a win in the opening game of the season, and we've talked about it so many times, and even in Sports Look here a couple of days ago, if you're going to have a great season, it starts with a great start, and you got to win game one, and the Ravens are going to do that today.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great way to get this season started against a quality Penn team. But let's flip the script, and after this play, talk a little bit about where Penn is.
QB's back, looking left, doesn't look at the defenders. He's swarmed, he's dropped, it's going to be a loss of six. All the way back just outside the 50-yard line. The quarterback entirely focused on his intended receiver as the pocket collapsed around him and he goes down.
Joe Burke, along with Jared Heron in on the stop, you also had Connor Walker in there for the Ravens.
Now, so, William Penn is going to elect, and I'm surprised, elect to give the football back to Benedictine. The Ravens are going to be out there with their...
Is he going to have Lutkowski?
Yep, they're going to bring our offense out there, and they are going to have. See, we were talking about this last position. When are they going to make some different looks, and how long are they going to go with that first unit? Here's Luke Laskowski. Luke, a great quarterback. Love watching him play. Young man out of Baldwin City, Kansas. His handoff will go into the left side of the line, and coming up just near midfield, and then the ball pops loose. His pin taken away. The officials walk
sure
it up,
did.
And
if they don't give this to Penn, that's going to be...
Blind judges
down.
Walking up, and there they go. William Penn football.
That time, Demarion Hunter came up, just reached in on Damon Wigan, and ripped the ball away as they were going to the ground. That was a fantastic job right there by Herter, and it will be first down for William Penn.
Well, this is no way to make the coach happy. You haven't got a lot of PT, and you go into the ball game, and the first time you touch it, you turn it over. Tough start for Damon. Here comes William Penn, right back about the same spot they were a moment ago, but here's the thing. Now we're only 4.5 minutes left in the game.
Damon Wigan, prior to that, 2 carries, 2 yards, and on carry number 3 is going to turn the ball over. But you talk about William Penn. They're a team that is now going to go to 0-1, and basically have your back up against the wall in a must-win game against Baker.
Crean will hand over into the left side again to Ben Sherman, who just powers forward, runs over some big linemen over there and follows them up the field for maybe 3 yards, and it'll bring up a second down. For Penn, that front line has continued to kind of change and rotate and evolve a little bit. You got Carnes out there. He's 6'2", 300. Robinson, 6'1", 250. And Martinez, 6'2", 300 from guard to center to guard. Here's a little reverse play. Over to the right side, a bit of trickery that is not going to work particularly well. It's coming around to the right. It's going to be Luke Masters, and Ravens see it. They stretch him to the near side. He'll get him maybe 2 yards, running up nearly 50, and Tyler Tierney with a stop on the play. Wow, how about that? You're going to share that a little bit of tidbit, aren't you?
Yeah, Culver just scores, knocks in the extra point. Culver Stockton leading Baker 30-26. Still 11.5 minutes left in that ball game, but Culver again holding with Baker tonight.
Teams of the conference are going to wonder, is Culver good, or are they just taking Baker and hit the bear with a stick and woken him up? Here's a long pass over the middle. It's going to be batted away. That was a nice athletic play to leap high in the air and slap it free by Josh Morris. It's incomplete along the near sideline. Stop at the clock. We're 3:43 to play.
Josh is a pretty good athlete, right?
Josh is not a bad athlete. You know, I've shown him a few moves on his sprint. Josh is, you know, one of the guys who was in the national finals with track and field.
Raven's got a few of those guys that are great speed guys.
Fourth down and 5. Quarterback's back. Pocket collapses. He steps up to run. Now he's going to throw late, and that lands out of bounds. It's incomplete. And now the official throws a super late flag. As the coach on the near side throws his arms in the air, yells at the official, and then gets a pass interference call on an uncatchable pass because that ball lands 3 yards out of bounds on the near side.
Well, I think that's what the officials are kind of talking about a little bit here, and they are going to call a pass interference.
Yeah, they are. There's a tough break for their visitors. So they will call the pass interference with 3.5 minutes to play. 35-13 Benedictine. You got to look at the stats at the end of this one and go, wow, game was closer than that, right? But the scoreboard will not show that. The Ravens are going to have a substantial win here today, but Penn has rolled up a lot of yards. Here's a straight-ahead handoff and about a 4-yard carry in the middle of the field. And Penn's got one speed, okay? And that is straight-ahead grinding.
Yeah, and we've talked about it in years past that William Penn is a team that just can't come from behind, right? They were never built to close a 3-score game.
No, and they're down 3 scores here with 3 minutes to go, and their answer is straight-ahead run. Don't get me wrong, handing it to the fullback is always a brilliant idea, but 3 yards at a time is not any way to get there. Here's a pass over to the left flat, and a diving catch is going to be called complete down on the far side by Luke Masters. Again, he's a 5-foot, 11-inch senior from Branson, Missouri. So
the Ravens have been switching in defensive ends, trying to keep everybody fresh. Right now, the two defensive ends you're going to have in the ballgame, Heath Baker and Matt Cobbs. Heath Baker, a name a lot of local people know, 6'3", 250-pound freshman out of Atchison High.
Yep. Played for Coach Smith at AHS. QB's back. He's hit. He is buried. Oh, my goodness. As quickly as Crean had taken the snap, he goes back a step, looking downfield, and suddenly he was hit by not one, but in fact two defenders. It was Matt Cobbs there first out of Draper, Utah. What a fine job by the Benedictine front. I think Heath Baker may have been the other guy in on that one.
Yeah, and Matt Cobbs is one of those guys that back on signing day you saw a few transfers coming into the program. Matt Cobbs was one of those.
We're down to 1:50 to play. Second down, 14. Penn at the Benedictine 18-yard line, trailing at 35-13. QB again, back. QB again, hit. This time he's able to pull away from the first guy. Breaks a tackle. Ball's knocked loose on the ground, and Penn is going to save it back around the 12. the ball was just jarred away from the quarterback's hands, and well played by a couple of running backs for Penn. And Gus, Alex Grehan, this poor guy looks like he's been through it all out there. He's kind of gimping and hobbling and coming over to the near side, and he takes his helmet off, and we're going to get a timeout taken. We're going to take a timeout, Joseph. We're going to dial you back. We're at a minute 27 to go in the game. Benedictine 35, Penn 13.
Lewis Chevrolet Buick is your trusted Buick Chevrolet dealership in Atchison and the reason why their loyal customers keep coming back. From the time you enter the showroom or the service center, you can expect to be treated like family each and every visit. We offer an extensive inventory, as well as our competitive lease specials, finance options, and expert auto service. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and being an integral part to the Atchison community. See them at 314 Woodlawn. It's Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG. Your unaffiliated entities.
Oskaloosa, Iowa is our location here this evening with a minute 27 to go in tonight's ball game. Benedictine going to go to 1-0 in the conference, leading here 35-13. Penn, third and nine at the 13. The handoff in the middle. That's just as creative as it gets, as it goes ahead for two.
Jalen James in on the stop right there, along with Garrett Penbidick for Benedictine. Clock continues to roll. We're at 70 seconds remaining.
Okay, let's talk about really important stuff. I mean, this is very serious business, okay? The white uniform, have you gotten used to it yet? I mean, you were one game into the all-whites.
No. I need a white helmet.
Huh? Maybe. Quarterback is back on a fourth down call. He's rolling. He's hit. He's throwing. It's tipped. It's incomplete. And Benedictine is going to have it back. Now, Raven fans, I know we're down in the last minute of the ballgame. This is something we should have started earlier. When was the last time? Now, this is going to take a real Raven football fan. I mean, a real fan. If you know the answer to this, I mean, you are top of Mount Rushmore. Last time Benedictine had white pants with their uniforms, game uniform. Okay? And we're gonna let you kind of roll that around.
And the worst part the
answer is yes, they have had. There were at a point white pants.
Do you want a hint?
Okay.
It's older than me.
Okay.
I've never known white pants.
There we go. Fair enough. That's a tip. 48 seconds ago, and the Ravens go to the victory formation. The snap, and taking a step back and taking a knee. Now, here's, you know what, he's a team guy, and he's happy to be out there, and he's happy that his team is winning. But Luke Laskowski is going to end up with terrible, terrible numbers today because he's going to take two snaps. He's going to lose 4 yards. He's going to come out of this thing with negative rushing yardage tonight as a quarterback who takes a snap and then takes a knee in the victory.
So for Benedictine today, three of their first four possessions in the first half ended in touchdowns. In the second half, one is good. They had a turnover and downs to start the second half, a touchdown, a punt, a fumble, and then now they're going to kneel it out.
There you have it. We'll be back to summarize today's Raven victory. Final score in Oskaloosa, Iowa, the Benedictine Ravens 35, William Penn 13. We'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned for the Benedictine Raven postgame wrap right after this.
Hot or cold, no matter what the temperature outside, the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison is your source for fan food, not fast food. Check out their chill menu with blizzards, shakes, sundaes, cones, and so much more. Or stop by for their $5 lunch and choose between a 3-piece chicken strip or deluxe cheeseburger with side, drink, and sundae, just $5 plus tax. And don't forget to sign up for the DQ Fan Club for special offers, monthly emails, and much more. Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. It's fan food, not fast food.
At Union State Bank, we've never stopped learning. In over 120 years, we've never stopped expanding our technology. To keep Union State Bank of Atchison and your finances moving forward, we provide innovative banking services while protecting your information. From our Union State Bank app to mobile and online banking tools, we're always looking ahead to serve you better without losing that small-town banking feel you love. Learn more today at mybankusb.com.
Take a long scoreboard shut down here in Oskaloosa as the two teams greet one another and exchange pleasantries out in the middle of the field. And the Benedictine Ravens will have won the first conference victory for new head coach Osborne. And there's going to be a someday someone will have that as a trivia question. Against whom did Coach Osborne take his first conference win? And you'll say, I know that. It was William
Penn. That answer.
It was a road game.
In a night game. I laughed before the game. When you think of night games, you always thought of Jewel. But tonight for the Raven offense, really limited in their possessions. Eight possessions in the first half. They knocked three touchdowns of their first four possessions. But time of possession is exactly what we anticipated tonight, right? William Penn with 37 minutes of possession. Benedictine just shy of 23 tonight. So, again, Benedictine taking advantage of the opportunities they were given tonight. And coming away with a win against the William Penn team, who, when you start looking at the stats at the end of the game, Benedictine 24 first downs, William Penn only 20. On fourth down, Benedictine was 2 of 3. Takes me a second to pull up all of these.
Well, let's talk about the fourth downs. We saw 7 times tonight teams go for a fourth down. That's an unheard of kind of a number.
See, William Penn is going to win total yardage tonight. 362 yards of total offense to Benedictine, 346. Rushing yards, Penn, 273 to 142 rushing the ball tonight.
And I would have thought that Benedictine had thrown the ball more than they had, 13 to 23. Penn, 5 of 15. There wasn't that many, 15, 23, not that many differences in total pass attempts on the course of the evening.
Think about it. William Penn,
do you have a
60 rushing
do you have a second
attempts
one of those?
Tonight. Benedictine with only 33 rushing attempts tonight.
I know. I mean, do you have a second copy of this?
Yes.
Can I get a second copy?
Yeah.
Okay. That was very confusing to me. Okay. Benedictine, big win for him here tonight, Gus. And for Raven fans, next Saturday, chance to see this team and Coach Osborne in Atchison, Kansas, at Wilcox Stadium. Benedictine will be at home, a 1 o'clock ball game with Grandview. Should be an outstanding one. Number 5 of the nation, the Grandview Vikings. Friday night next week, you and I are going to be at Amelia Earhart Stadium as the Atchison Phoenix will be hosting Lafayette. Ball game for Coach Smith and his team at home to start their season. And, of course, next Thursday night, Sport Look football season is now fully and officially well underway. Certainly want to thank you for having joined us here this evening. Great time at Oskaloosa. Get the final score. The Benedictine Ravens win it over William Penn here this evening, 35-13. Till we greet you next time for our studio producer engineer, Joseph. Well done, young man. Thank you so much. And for Gus Couts with me here in the booth, Tom Couts saying so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR Radio 93.7 FM. And streaming on MSCNews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.